If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is the Daily Show up canceled?
It is the current Christmas. Ho, just ho. I had to get that bad joke in before the season ended. I'm sorry about that. Welcome to a laid-back holiday, kind of like everybody's off but us kind of edition of the Daily Show. Seven Sun. This week on the death panel, I got Ghoul, I got Mike Enoch, and I got... Hold on, I can't just say his name. I have to...
Richard Spencer.
Nice.
Yes, we're joined by... from the National Politics. Richard Spencer's with us. Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm deeply honored. Happy Kwanzaa.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah. That's right. That's happening now, right?
I guess.
I'm trying to promote African identity.
Dude,
I really,
you know, I was going to say that.
We should be supporting Kwanzaa.
We're on the same page. No, I was going to... People were making fun of Kwanzaa over the holidays. I was going to counter-signal because I was like, no. Look, if blacks want to carve out an independent identity for themselves, I'm totally for that.
Exactly.
I thought that's why they convert to Islam.
Well, whatever they do, it's not my business to tell them what to do.
Yeah, but Islam's just like one more universalist, you know, monotheism kind of thing. Like, it's almost like a kind of liberalism, except, you know, you rape boys and kill people.
That's kind of like liberalism anyway.
Well, that's sort of like liberalism too, right? Hey,
all right. Hey,
but, no, because it's like, look, we could point out these sort of quote-unquote inauthenticities of Kwanzaa, and that it's made up by a black nationalist from the 70s or something like that. I assume that's probably all true, but on some level, everything's made up. Who cares? If they want to do this, I actually support it rather than try to tear it down and tell them, no, you have to do the same thing that white people do.
You could point out the inauthenticities of every holiday. I mean, you can put out the inauthenticities of Christmas. It's a very... Christmas is a, like, profoundly weird holiday that has all these kind of different origins. I mean, that's what's, like, great about it. And Kwanzaa, from the little that I know about Kwanzaa, it's about, like, self-reliance and African identity. And
so
it has...
LARPing.
You know, it's funny. We did this podcast last week where we're like, we need to do an in defense of LARPing kind of thing, where it's like you LARP so hard that you go, like, flip over to the other side and it's radical or something. But no, I mean, yeah, it's African nationalist LARPing, but in a very positive way. And from the little I know of Kwanzaa, it has, like, genuine values. It's about self-reliance and taking care of your family and taking care of your racial community. And so I support it. I actually think there are a lot of people who want to demean Kwanzaa because they actually want to get rid of they want to demean and ruin, like, black self-reliance and like, you know, authentic independent black communities. And those things do exist, and they certainly did exist.
I got to agree that I'm a little skeptical about how independent the blacks are now. Of course they're not, but I do think that there is some sort of that people... you'll find people that are very sort of pro SJW, pro, you know, everyone's equal, that then will shit on Kwanzaa as much as anything else. And look, it's not really my job or your job or anyone's job to, like, promote Kwanzaa, but I'm just saying, like, I'm for it in the abstract. Like, I think that... yeah. I'm not going to make fun of it because it's made up, because it's whatever. I mean, I do think it's probably kind of silly from my perspective, but I don't care. Like, I think that blacks should support Kwanzaa, and they should celebrate Kwanzaa, and they should carve out an independent identity for themselves. And I don't think that they should be made fun of for not doing the same holiday that white people do. Because why should...
I mean, I'm not going to become a Hindu either, you know?
Right.
I mean, we don't have to all... We don't have to all do the same thing.
Like, what's the point? Why would we do that? Why would we want that? That's something that the other side wants. That's what they want. They want all of us to do the same thing. And that's sort of a bland kind of nothingness, I guess.
As long as I don't have to wear their, as long as I don't have to watch their like Kwanzaa Christmas specials.
Well,
on
you
TV.
Don't.
I hope not. Yeah.
Does anyone have their? You,
I, mean. I don't want to see their like their little like. I don't know what do they have? Like, do they have a Kwanzaa tree? I don't want to see that like in the town
menorah.
Square. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, that's right. They have
a, it is a menorah of
it's
sorts.
A Kwanzaa yeah. menorah.
It's called a kinorah.
A kinorah. I don't want. I don't.
Let me
see
signal
that.
My enlightenment.
Literally.
It's called a kinorah, and it's got 7 candles, of course.
I don't want my kids drawing them at school. You know what I mean? Yeah, right.
One yes, less. No, that I agree with. And did you guys see this thing? See, now we're already just talking about shit. We had a plan, and it's all out the window. But
no,
it's
okay. Kwanzaa shit post for the first
did
10
Did you
minutes.
See that thing about those kids that were forced to say, to write in Arabic, there's no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet
wow.
in their school?
Wow.
And, of course, it was somewhere in the South, and so the Christian parents flipped the fuck out.
Of course.
And... Yeah. I, of course, I side with them because I'm like, why that? Why should your kids have to say?
I'm sure, that was the desired outcome from whoever designed.
Well,
this
on some
ruse.
Level, yeah, I'm sure that it was a. Well, it was sort of like we wanted to teach the kids about other cultures and religions
yeah.
and multiculturalism and blah blah blah. It's like, well, why are you having them literally write a statement of faith? You're yeah. taking kids from what you know is a very Christian fundamentalist. Community, and you are making them in school write a
absolutely
statement of faith
insane.
From a foreign and hostile
yeah,
religion,
which is in and of itself blasphemy.
Right.
So you're basically right. you're having them blaspheme, and then you're going yeah, gonna pretend like
oopsie-daisy, looks like I accidentally synthesized some BuzzFeed articles, huh?
Yeah. Oh, we were just innocently trying to teach them, and it's like, no, that's bullshit. You weren't. Innocently trying, you were having these kids, you were deliberately provoking their parents, and if you say you weren't, I don't fucking believe you.
I love a kebab as much as the next guy.
Yeah, so it pissed me off, and as much as we have, may or may not have our opinions about, you know, Christian fundamentalists or evangelical or whatever, this is bullshit. And this is the exact kind of bullshit that triggers me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of easy to oppose something like that. That's obviously
yeah.
awful. And you're not just appreciating someone else's culture. I think we should actually teach people about other cultures, and they should appreciate it, because I think they should appreciate difference and things like this. But no, that's not. That's obvious. And I agree. It probably was
differentness?
Some...
You want to yes. otherize the others?
We do.
Yes,
actually,
I want to otherize
really
the others.
That's a valuable thing to do. Yeah, I'm sure it was some... SJW that just got her whatever they get to become a teacher in the government schools. And
I'm sure as a woman, and I'm sure in the back of her mind she knew that she was going to offend the religious right, and there was going to be a reaction, and then there was going to be a counter reaction, and that she was going to become the next Sandra Fluke or whoever that girl was, you know, yeah. as like the, oh, look at this poor little girl who was attacked by the evil religious right people.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure she had that in her mind. She wasn't just teaching people about other cultures. That being said, maybe I'll jump into this topic that we were considering talking about. But
yeah,
I mean, you can always find atrocities like that. And I have noticed that there are a lot of people in the mainstream conservative movement, and then some people in our movement, who seem to have this negative identity where we are defined by like these politically correct atrocities that are committed against us. Like, did you hear mm-hmm. about that Alabama school where they were taught to read Arabic and they wrote "No God but God" and blah blah blah? And you know, I don't deny that stuff happens, and I don't deny that, you know, if I were a parent, I would be freaked out and I would raise hell. But to like, I think in this whole idea that there's like a war on Christmas, I just think is really drastically overrated. I don't think there's a war on Christmas. I think the why when we say things like that, I think we're in a way like blinding ourselves to the truth.
Well, first, I mean, what do you mean by war on Christmas?
Well, War on Christmas was this meme. I actually think that Peter Brimelow claims that VJer was the first person, the first site to put this forward, and that might very well be true, so they can lay claim to it. But it's been picked up by Bill O'Reilly and Fox News.
Yeah,
and
I remember it was big like four or five years ago.
John Gibson was all over that, right?
He wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
And it's basically like they're saying Happy Holidays and not Merry Christmas. They're making it a festival of lights and not a Christmas festival, and so on. And I get it. I mean, I think that is obviously happening, and I think that that has to do with the general trend towards secularization of our entire society. I don't think this is some like war on Christmas. And the other thing, I mean, look, I'm 37 years old, and in my lifetime, Christmas has expanded and become more intense in way. I mean, it's become ridiculous. I mean, Christmas now begins in like mid-November. And in terms
well,
of...
That's because of the marketing there.
Exactly. And, I mean, and it's almost
like...
It's
the perfect time to start marketing Christmas shopping there, Goy.
Free credit! Free credit! Yeah.
No interest for 16 months.
Sorry.
I saw things like that of like, we'll give you $35 of free credit at Walmart. Or, like, there was an actual commercial like that. I was like, oh, God, it's so sad in a way. Like, you know, God, save your goddamn money, you know. You know, just take your family out for like a nice meal or something. Don't buy them some pizza.
So do you think when you say secularization, do you mean more and more people are just losing their religion?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and look, that's what you think? Because, I mean, like, as far as trends go, this is still, you know, tremendously religious country by far. Do you think it's more likely to be just our social philosophies that are universalism or what?
I'm a little skeptical of even the idea that America is this tremendously devout nation, because if you actually look,
well, it's just in comparison to other nations.
I think
Europe,
it's really only comparative to Europe, but
to
I don't
Europe,
think it's particularly I mean, religious myself.
It's the most supposedly religious country in the developed world, but if you actually look at what people think God is and things like that, he's basically this like fuzzy,
yeah,
like being
Buddy Christ from that stupid Kevin Smith movie.
Still, Buddy Christ.
Yeah,
still people with religion though, right? You're just saying that they don't have religious fervor,
right? And I think a lot of people in Europe have that kind of. But most people, Europeans, believe in some fuzzy being that created the universe or something. You know, like it's not even that particular or amazing. And if you look at actually polls of younger people, there clearly is a large trend towards secularization.
Right.
And Christianity itself has like been hollowed out. I mean, are there people who go to a Joel Osteen concert, or are those like really Christians when they're just talking about like making money and buying a new jet ski? You know, I mean, it's just, it's like, it really is a perversion of Christianity. Because I think Christianity is a real thing. Like, I'm not trying to demean it. But it's just like American self-esteem religion, basically, now. And so anyway,
Prosperity gospel.
Right, the prosperity gospel. But
I
also,
think that's what they call Joel Osteen. I think people I know that are Christians call it, that's like absolutely heretical. But,
of course it is. But it might even weirdly have some Calvinist roots in a way. But anyway, what I'm getting at is also like this whole trend towards secularization. I mean, this is not like something from the Obama administration. I mean, the West has like losing. The West has had a crisis of faith for like at least 300 years now. Yeah. I mean, like we've been like dealing, we've had this neurosis for centuries. And so anyway, I think it's overrated. I think Christmas is being expanded. Granted, it's being expanded in this like kitschy form of like commercialization, of maxing out your credit card or going to Walmart, all this kind of stuff. But it's not going away. And I think there are a lot of people who want to keep it. It's like one of the few things that unites a multiracial, multicultural society is that we go buy shit, you know, during the holidays and you know. So I think it's in a way, it's kind of like if you think that's happening, you're kind of like losing touch with reality. And what's truly happening is something different. And you know, what's truly happening is that, you know, our national identity is gone. What's truly happening is that Christianity is being hollowed out. And maybe that's a very long process. And what's truly happening is that we're going to have an America 50 years from now with tons of brown people who are going to love Christmas. And they're going to go shop at Christmas and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's what's happening. And just saying there's a war on Christmas just seems to, like, blind us. It seems to blind us more than it, like, shows us the light.
Yeah. I think there's a few things that I think about it. I think that, the whole thing of, oh, we say happy holidays now instead of saying Merry Christmas. And I get that. And I think that it's good to have, you know, any nation, if we still were one, it would be good to have, you know, that as our, you know, one of our big holidays and everybody kind of like, sort of like, you know, everyone, you know, even Thanksgiving, despite the roots of it, I think is good in that, you know, it unites everybody. They do a ritual. Everyone goes and sees their families, and it's something everyone can relate to and talk about and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's all good. And I think that, you know, a war on Christmas may be a metaphor for the decline of all of those things. And the most obvious manifestation of it is that everything says happy holidays, which is really, honestly, that's because of Jews. Like, you know, Hanukkah, they invented Hanukkah so they could also have something where they give presents during the winter and then it's happy holidays. And, you know, now we have Kwanzaa and all that. I think to some extent, some sort of holiday or festival at the year's end is probably something everybody does one way or the other. And that's all fine. But I think it's a metaphor for a greater feeling of an attack on your culture and any kind of sense of identity, right? Maybe being able to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays is sort of like the last grasp of any feeling of identity or community that people have. And they're not even allowed to do that anymore. I don't know about you, but I intentionally just say Merry Christmas all the time. And I'm kind of doing it to troll because I know that, you know, no one else says it. And I'm expected to say Happy Holidays because I'm in New York where most people probably aren't, even people that are Gentile whites are not probably Christian or observant in any way. They're just secular people. They're not religious. I'm not saying atheists, but they're not religious. So it's like, and some people, God knows what they are. So, you know, a lot of Jews, and then who knows what some people are. I do think you're right that Christmas will continue as this marketing phenomena. People will buy gifts. People will put up stuff. And in some ways, I think that a festival of lights, rather, like the de-Christianization of Christmas and, in a way, almost the re-paganization of it. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
People might disagree. The best stuff about Christmas is pagan. Okay? That's all the fun stuff, right? And the same thing with Easter and a bunch of these other things. The fun stuff is all pagan. And I don't care. I know that's going to create a whole other issue with Christians and pagans. This is my opinion. I don't necessarily think anyone else has to agree. It's my opinion. I like the pagan stuff with Christmas. I like the pagan stuff with Easter.
Well, I would just like to jump in.
Christmas is actually the Thor pagan Roman orgy day that was stolen by a rabbi.
Yes, exactly.
I would just like to jump in. I don't say Merry Christmas. I say Happy Hanukkah.
Oh.
People look at me very weird.
Do you rub your hands aggressively while you do it and snicker under your breath?
That's what I do. Ask for deals afterwards.
I totally agree. I mean, it is a pagan holiday, and it's a deep pagan holiday. There's a lot of Germanic and Scandinavian aspects to it. The Christmas tree is very Germanic. It's obviously a kind of phallic symbol in some way. The mistletoe and all this kind of stuff is it's deeply pagan and Germanic. But it also kind of brings us back to Sol Invictus and the Roman holiday aspect of it. It is basically the sun is being born, which also gets us to this like deep Jungian aspect of Christianity, which is, you know, the sun is rising, the sun is being born. It's the S-U-N and the S-O-N.
That's like that Jordan Maxwell stuff.
Oh, really?
The son of God. The sun is born. The light of the world. The sun. Sorry. Anyone that used to listen to Jordan Maxwell knows what I'm
talking about. Yeah, I know that. That's that weird
astro-theology.
How many languages does that pun work?
I think English?
It might work just does, right?
I don't know.
It works in Europe.
That's the funniest thing about this guy, does Jordan it? Maxwell.
Yeah.
Is it
Zona, yeah.
Oh, it works in...
It works in most Northern European languages. It's just a... It's a kind of... I mean, even if the literal linguistic pun doesn't work, I mean, it's it kind of like it
means yeah.
sense. Yeah. I mean, and that's why it's meaningful. It's like the days are finally getting longer again, and, you know, the sun is returning. So, I mean, that's the origin of the holiday.
The awful zeitgeist.
Yeah, so I mean, again, I'm not, when I say there's no war on Christmas, I'm not like some horrible secular Bolshevik or something. Like, I love Christmas. This is unquestionably my favorite time of year. I think we should, I even love the kitschy aspects of it. But I'm not gonna, I don't know. I mean, and I do get the idea that like, we've got to reach people where they are, and if you can talk to like your average Joe and say, there's a war on Christmas, they won't let you say Merry Christmas anymore. And if that kind of like wakes him up, okay, I mean, I'll give you that. But I generally think sometimes these kind of like reactionary propaganda type things kind of blind us to what's happening as opposed to reveal what's happening. Like, you know, like the illegal immigrants, it's like, who cares about the illegal immigrants? You know, like, I don't care that they're illegal, first off. Like, if there were illegal white boat people who came to our shores, I'd let them in an heartbeat. I could give a flying fuck about
right.
the
yeah.
law.
If a and bunch then, of see, the African whites yeah, tried to come over here illegally, I'd be in favor of
yeah, I'd be like, let these people in. They enrich our culture. And then also, like, you know, it's like the illegals are like the best ones. They actually leave. You know, and so I don't know. It's like it's one of those things where it's like I get that we have to reach people where they are, but I think sometimes we're almost blind. It's like we're short circuiting.
Yeah, you can't let the reaching people where they are get in the way of the real message. Like it's good to as a gateway drug, I suppose, but you can't then become obsessed with it. Like
I think a lot of people know. I think a lot of people know this though. I think a lot of people are trying to just you know take what you know fortresses were about to take.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah
we're, no, if you're about to win, yeah, we're about to win a battle. And you can't say you're overlooking the war because you're too focused on this battle. It's like, well, you know, yeah. one at a time.
But I do. I think. That, I mean, the thing is that like the war on Christmas. It's. I think it's useful to just say. You don't have to totally be like war on Christmas, but it's sort of like you can be like, look, it's not just Christmas, right? Like the yeah. entire idea of your culture is under assault. You obviously feel that, and this is one way. That you express it is by saying, "Oh, it's now holidays instead of Christmas." And look, it's going to get, and in some ways, in some places, there's a literal war on Christmas, and it depends on where you are. But in some parts of the country, they're taking Christmas out of everything, mm-hmm. and they're making it things like the winter festival. And I know that you know what we've said about the paganization and de-Christianization of it, but that is kind of incidental to this because they're doing it to include like Muslim kids. Like in New York City now, for the first time, they're giving kids days off on like Muslim holidays.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they're doing all of these things. So it's sort of like, and they can't do anything. And New York City schools on some level are probably just gone, right? There's no point in trying to resurrect them or caring what they do because they're basically foreign territory at this point.
Yeah.
Particularly the government schools. The white people that still exist in New York City send their kids to private school. The public schools are they're a horror show. I can't imagine ever sending a white child into that environment. Mm. But, you know, it's like, so they are doing it, and I suppose you could be like some Christian somewhere in the middle of the country and you read like, in New York City they don't have any Christmas anymore. You know, it's like, well, everything's kind of dead in New York City, right? Like, there's nothing.
I mean,
right.
if the school,
like, was, I mean, I,
some Muslim in some Brooklyn neighborhood, like if you have a school that's 90% Muslim or something, like I'm not sure that I could really like fault them for declaring.
Well, I mean, I fault them for getting to that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, getting to that point exactly. Who let
you
all
know,
these
Muslims? Like, and I think that we can't. And the thing is, I'm not really wanting to, and maybe this is where you and I might disagree a little bit, Richard, is I'm not really interested in making people not be mad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I want them angry.
Yeah.
And they should be angry, and I get why, and to some extent we should be mad, not just that they're taking Christmas out of New York City schools, but that we have schools that are so full of Muslims that they take it out. You know, yeah. And of course Muslims are gonna get their needs and their wishes catered to by the institutions that they're the clients of, right? It's only white people who are expected to not have the institutions that cater to them meet their needs. Everybody else in the world gets that. They even get our institutions catering to them. Mm-hmm. But we don't get it. And that's where people should be angry. And anything that can tap into that and be used as a tool to push it, I'm all for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
We've got to get mad.
You know, we do. We do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more in the world that can create change like white men that are pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if we're going to talk about people that are mad, Mike, we should really revisit.
Who's mad? You mad?
You mad, bro?
I know you're mad.
No, I bet our donators are mad because we didn't acknowledge them last week. We fucked up.
After my
apologize, just too much. Too much, we were too triggered by Star Wars.
Too much autism. Way too much autism.
Yeah, the last episode was like, oosh.
Yeah, we gotta apologize to Ghoul. Ghoul was so triggered by
He's so triggered by the autism he had to leave. He just left. Incidentally,
well, I didn't want to be rude about it. I just couldn't contribute because the Star Wars conversation was done, and I was like, okay, we'll go to something else. But then they started talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he kept going. And I was like, I can't say anything. I don't know what to say.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Thank you very much.
Negro Turtles.
So anyway, we should get into the donations.
Teenage Negro Ninjas.
I don't fucking know.
Whatever. Yeah.
A sequel, and I was rustled by that. But we shouldn't talk about that again because
we're not going to talk about movies. I actually saw Star Wars in between last show and this show. We don't need to talk about it again.
I saw it too.
We'll probably end up talking about it.
No.
Before we do it, let's just get some business out of the way. We have a bunch of donations. I'm going to read them off. If you sent me a private message and asked me to use a different name. In between last week and this week, I didn't see it yet. I've been away with my family for 5 days. But I'm just going to go ahead. I will use whatever names I think are good. If you have a weird first name, I won't use it. I'll just go ahead and use my judgment as I read this list. So, okay. And some of you I might have mentioned last time, but I'll go through it anyway. Okay. So TEC sent us $14.92. Thanks. T.E. HMS Daedalus sent us 1973, so thanks. Keith sent us 2016, so almost the current year. We're getting close. Edmund Birkenstock sent us 40. Matt sent us 1488. Another Matt sent us 3. Jacob sent us 1488. Thomas sent us 50. Okay, some name that looks Italian. RBMV, looks like a very long Italian name, I could be wrong about that, sent us 5, thanks R. Paul sent us 20. LLC, I know this guy, he doesn't want me to mention the name of his LLC that he sent us from, so we'll just go with LLC. 8888, YD sent us 10. Adam sent us 114.88. Thanks a lot, Adam. Great. That was a great contribution. Ian sent us 10. Chris sent us 10. I think this guy's name... I lost my place. I think this guy... Okay, well, I'll just go with his first name. Alphonse sent us 100. Luke sent us 5. Thanks very much, Alphonse. I hope that you didn't send me a fake name that you'd want and I screwed it up. If so, I'm sorry. Robert sent us 25. Devin sent us 20.
Son of a fucking bitch. There's some winter storms in the New York area, and we're losing Mike. We've lost Mike on the internet a couple times, so he's calling back in on his Skype over his phone.
Commentary, and maybe I sound like shit, but
yeah,
whatever. It'll work just fine.
So. It'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Okay. I can go through the rest of the... Okay, so Alphonse is the last one.
Did
you guys have a conversation after that, or was it just about how shitty my internet is?
We didn't have a recording. No, we stopped and just kind of discussed.
I'm sorry about that. We'll see if we can get... Yeah. We'll get through this together.
We will.
All right, let me just keep going here. So Luke gave us 5, Robert gave us 25, Devin gave us 20, JK gave us 2016, Alex gave us 10, Gary gave us 25, not, you know, you guys are big, Gary.
Gary.
Hi, Gary. No, I'm just joking. Gary gave us 25, Matt gave us 1488, Eamon gave us 50, Jesse gave us 100, thanks a lot, Jesse. Derek gave us 10.
What a guy.
Nate gave us 1683. Our pal, Mr. Awesome from Skyrim.
Nice.
Gave us 30 euro.
Whoosh. Cool. Are those even real monies anymore?
I don't know if that really counts as money or not. I think that might be better than money. Andrew gave us 1838.
It's like Hobbit.
Edmund Birkenstock gave us another 5. Andrew gave us 1488. And my pal from New York, Big Dom, gave me 50. Thanks, Dom, nice. And Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, and Happy Yuletide, and Happy Festival of Lights, and Solstice, and Saturnalia.
All right, you're starting to sound like a fucking liberal with all this inclusiveness really with the holiday. Yeah. If I may, before I have, we've been getting your bitcoins, and we need your bitcoins. I don't understand how Bitcoin works at all. Because it's anonymous. We've got.
But it's a coin!
Yeah, that's right. That way I like it. We've had 6 donations. We appreciate
some
that.
Some form of shekel that you rub together. Actually, you can't rub them together.
No, you can't.
That defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah. Well, you could print them out and rub the papers together, apparently.
Can't print them out.
You print something. You print some kind of fucking long ass number out, and that's your bitcoins in case they get lost or something. Because bitcoins aren't actually yours. What you have is access to the bitcoin or something. But anyway,
that's just like Federal Reserve notes. Then
I don't know. Why are you trying to make me? I don't even know like how we got this money. I don't know who gave it to us. I just want you all to know out there we appreciate it. We need more though.
What is a bitcoin worth these days?
Yeah, what's the exchange? Is it like 200? I think it's around 200. I could look it up if I had internet.
If I click on charts, will it? I don't fucking know.
Just you can do it on Google. Do USD to Bitcoin exchange rate.
I'm logged into our thingamabob here, so I can't even. Jesus.
Just go to Google and use it like a normal human being.
Okay, $1 is 0.0024 Bitcoin.
$423.43.
Okay, so it's going up.
It's
going up. It was lower than that last time I checked.
Yeah, it was 230 back in September. It looks like
this is why it's actually not useful. This is why it's actually not useful as a currency, because medium exchange is not.
Yeah, it's not useful as a currency. I think that's probably true. It's not useful as an investment, but it's useful as a currency. I think last time I was on.
We got to get the donations in while it's up like this. We can pay these guys off for the stuff, the secret things that we want to do. We need about $500. We have about 150. So
Bitcoin
is actually
way more. We have a ton. Well, we don't have a ton. We have enough cash. We have that much cash. We have enough cash. I can transfer you some cash if you want to change it into.
These guys don't want. You can change it into Bitcoin. I guess I don't know how to do that.
We'll figure it out together.
It's wacky. These guys want Bitcoin.
We have the cash. I'm confident I can change cash to Bitcoin. And then
if you bought Bitcoin as an investment in late 2013, you've basically gotten hosed.
Yeah, because that was when it really blew up, right?
Half of what it was. But it's actually been going up recently. Interesting.
You could have made a killing if you got out at the peak, but that's always the case.
Yeah.
But my thing is that it's meant to be a currency, but people were treating it as an investment product.
Speculating, yeah.
Right, exactly.
And that's why it's not useful as a currency. It fluctuates too much.
I thought all that volatility was out and it was going to be more flat and it would be useful now.
It's still volatile. It's better than gold because,
gold doesn't increase in... gold is a hard. It doesn't. You don't get interest on it. Like you don't gain.
Yeah, definitely. It's a
read on it. It's just it's worth what it's worth.
but it's, yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is more interesting than gold just because you could conceivably engage in this, you know, anonymous transactions around the world with it. Whereas gold really is a currency. I agree with, you know, libertarian fags on that, but it's, you know, it's a lot more difficult to do it.
Yeah, and the costs of transacting in gold are incredibly high. I mean, somebody tried to do, there was a couple people, and here's the thing, whenever you get into this alternative currency shit, you end up cutting yourself, like, you could potentially be a victim of fraud very easily. Like people tried to do something called e-gold before Bitcoin. I think they all went to jail. Like, you know, like, who knows what's going on? Because it's like, oh, we're trying to do something specifically to circumvent, like, doing it the normal way, and lo and behold, people that want to defraud you get involved there. So,
Let me jump in real quick.
Yes, please.
If you are listening to this, I mean, for God's sake, I mean, just throw in $20 to the Daily Show and these guys. I mean, it's 1488 is fine. 20 bucks or do more, but you know, it's like, I don't want to sound like indignant or something, but it's like, you know, if we're going to have a movement, we really do need people just stepping up and making like reasonable sacrifices. And, you know, I don't like begging and I don't like guilt tripping people, but, you know, sometimes it's like, look, you know, let me put it this way, actually. There's this false, you know, stereotype that Jews are really tight with money. And I remember when I was a kid, the kind of like vague, benign anti-Semitism that we would engage with is like, how do you lose a Jewish cop? Oh, you take the toll road, or hoardy, hor, hor. Well, that's actually bullshit. Jews aren't, like, Jews might be tight when they're, like, you know, buying a new house or whatever, but they're actually not tight when it comes to supporting, like, institutions and things like that. They're like, incredibly spendthrift when it comes to just throwing money at you know, causes.
At causes and at things that particularly benefit Jews.
Exactly.
And,
so it's
and
like,
you know, on some level, you can't fault them for that in principle.
No, you know, we need
it's sort
to
of
be.
Like, all right, you just have to do the same thing.
Yeah, we've got to do the same thing, and we've got to be more Jewy. I just feel like sometimes.
Oh boy, that one's gonna get isolated, and it's gonna repeat forever.
Got to be more Jewy.
The next Richard Spencer song. Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
That'll be like the intro.
More Jewy.
We've got to think like that, and we've got to start doing that kind of stuff. And I feel like sometimes people think that this movement, like, will just exist on its own. And it's like, look, a ton of work and labor and sacrifice goes into even something like a stupid podcast. You know, like,
we do
what I mean.
A lot of work. Yes.
When I do my podcast, like, it, I have to edit the goddamn thing. I've got to do this.
Don't remind me.
So it's like, there's a lot of labor and time that goes into it. And, you know, just throw in $100. It's not going to kill you. You'll forget it. You know, and a week from now, you'll forget that you even did it. It's not.
And we won't forget it, Goy.
We won't forget
the weekend. Drop more than $20 on beers over the weekend.
But yeah, give us $100. I mean, you won't miss it. You won't forget about it.
What do you even need $100 for? What do you want $80 for? What do you mean $50?
Some credit, though. I want to give a little bit of credit there.
A little bit of credit, listener.
Look, dog, we got a lot of donators. But no, look, we did read off a very long list of names.
Very long.
Yeah,
pretty good.
We gotta give a lot of credit.
I wonder if anybody's like looked up that reference to even know like what we're doing. Give it out of credit, Mike.
I think only people that listen to Opie and Anthony in like 2002 get this joke. Which is basically you and me. And
we won't stop doing it. That's my favorite part. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, just I guess to pimp our own cause a little bit, just what would you do if one day we were gone?
Oosh.
And honestly, you know, it's almost happened, but it didn't. It has happened. One day you woke up and we were gone. We came back. unlike your Dindu father. But look.
Implying Dindu father was ever there in the first place.
So, you know, it does take a little bit, you know, we need to grease the wheels a little bit. It takes some money to keep this
going.
Well,
we're trying to move into other things, you know. I'm dying to go on some kind of platform where we can do this live with phone calls here. Not every week, but... you know, and there's solutions out there, but they cost a lot of money to run, or they suck. You know, we don't want to go on that one service again. We almost did.
And if you don't give money to us, do it to something.
Yeah, that too.
Yes, if you don't, right, support the cause.
If you're consuming a lot of alt-right media and you're getting your opinions and views and everybody's provoked your thoughts on stuff, give somebody some money because, you know, that's how this works. Like, that's what they did.
What we need is we need somebody with a merchanty mind on this that can let us know, like, all right, how can we take the audiences that we have in these things and consistently monetize them? Because we know how to create organic growth through creating consistently good content, I think, if I may be a little too braggadocious there. But I mean, you know, we don't know how to turn that into shekels, because
we're
technicians.
It would be great if we had some.
Well, we really need our own Soros, you know, because the shortest distance between two points is not getting $1 from a million people; it's getting $1 million from one person.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, we need that Goy Soros who would, you know, shower us with wealth. Yeah, Goros.
Something like that. Yeah, we need a very wealthy benefactor to give us money and let us do our thing.
Yeah.
In the absence of that, though, your guys' money is great, and we'll just keep doing this regardless.
If everybody gave us a dollar every month, we'd be doing all right.
Oh, if everyone that listened to this show gave us $1 every month, we would be.
It's just a dollar going.
That
never
happens.
I know. Never works out that way.
Never happens. But yeah. Just $1 a month. You can see
for just 35 cents a day.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Enough e-begging.
Enough e-begging. That was pretty. It was funny though. It was entertaining. I think it was good.
Yeah.
We should talk about shit. How was your Christmas? Did I tell you about my Christmas at all? I know I posted about it a little bit, but
I haven't been on Facebook except for today.
Oh, dude! I
never really look at your normies outside of
the group. No, you never. Yeah, I know, but I had.
I can't see it right now because I got a 24-hour ban for saying faggot a few months ago.
A few months.
Oh, you said
so
it was
reported
a few months ago.
That
you finally got reported now.
It was on my own wall like 4 months ago.
Ouch.
Oh, and they just banned you now.
Yeah.
Someone must have reported it. Someone vindictive. I bet you it was one of your enemies.
Maybe. Who cares?
Anyway,
none of this. So, it don't matter.
None of this matters. So Christmas Day, where the second half of Christmas Day, when I'm at my mother's. You know, with the whole big family gathering. I think she's been listening to the show because she hands my wife two gifts. And my wife opens one, and it's a lamp. Just the lamp part. And separately wrapped, she hands me, and it's what I've always wanted. It's a nice lampshade. And I'm like, have you been listening to what I do, Ma? You've been on the internet? You know what I'm up to? I just really appreciated it. That was probably the best gift I've ever gotten. There wasn't any number tattoo on it or anything, but...
Yes, there were no tattoos on that.
But it was a very thoughtful, good gift from Mom there. A nice lampshade.
What was it? Really, what was the pattern on that?
It was just kind of a pale flesh tone. There was no pattern on it. I'm not even making that up. Kind of just a tan, goyish, kind of a peachy flesh tone.
Okay.
Nothing to it. So that was a good time. That was good. I want to get that story out there. Nice. Thanks, Ma. Thanks for the lampshade. Maybe next year some soap. You know?
Some scented soap.
Some soap, some pesticides.
It's funny because I got, you know, one of the things that always gets passed around in stockings in my family, we always do, like, stockings, and then we do presents. Like, we just...
Yeah.
We always do like stockings. Then we have breakfast.
Then we do poor people. For God's sake.
Right. And
sorry, that was really rough.
And in the stockings are always like toiletries. You know, you always get like soaps and stuff like that. Like hand lotions and soaps and things like that are always passed around, particularly among the women folk. You know, scented soaps, like my wife and my sister and my mom and stepmom, it's like the number of soaps and toiletries that goes amongst them. It's like, I can't keep track of it. I'm like, okay, that looks nice, I guess. And they always love it. They love it too. They're like, oh, they open up, they smell it, they're like, oh God, it smells so good. And I'm like, okay, I guess this is a girl thing. They love these scented lotions and soaps. That's totally fine with it. It's very heteronormative, so I'm okay with it. But I just usually sit there bored as they open their soaps and lotions and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty much how it is. I received the bottle of bourbon that I'm drinking right now, and I actually got a soap. I got a new shaving soap.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's very manly stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Men should give each other like shaving accessories under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like here's a new razor, some aftershave, etc.
Are you guys? I think I mentioned this on some podcast, but I've really gotten into traditional wet shaving over the past year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like shaving the brush, and I usually use this like 1950s razor. It's a Gillette Fat Boy, so it's like. It's like, you know, 1959 or so. Nice. I love it. It's really awesome.
It's like a weapon.
Yeah, it is.
Same out of the Godfather. No, yeah. I shave my... I have a beard. I don't, you know.
You don't have a beard.
Well, I mean, you know.
One's beards.
Well, I got a beard.
I have like a George Michael beard. I'm sorry. Gotta have faith.
The thing where I go to the barber and I get the cut, and then I have them trim up my beard and then do like the whole hot towels thing on my face and everything, and feels great. It's awesome.
Huh.
Yeah. And the guy I go to, don't get any ideas. It's not gay or anything, but then he gives like a massage afterwards. Oosh. It's great. Like he does like your shoulders and back. It's great.
Yeah, I go to an extremely swepple barber. It's a place called Sazes and Scotch.
Ooh.
And you go there, and they only hire women. It's men that run it, but women basically will do the hot towel and the rubs and stuff, and then they trim up your hair and facial hair and stuff, and then you get a free drink at the bar that they own next door.
Yeah. See, I was going to one for a while. That was a hipster. It was definitely a hipster barbershop. But I'm like, there's something about hipster culture that I think are really good, because a lot of it's like trying to get back in touch with some kind of culture and roots.
Yeah, a lot of it's service oriented, so it's nice, you know.
It's white culture. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's getting back to white culture. So this barbershop is totally hipster. All the guys in it, all the barbers are hipsters. All men. It's totally like a male space, and it's marketed and presents itself as such, and in some ways I'm like, how does this exist? But it's, you know, it's in New York City in this kind of nice neighborhood, and it's like this, you know, they have this old timey name, and like the equipment's all like old timey, and then you get a shot of whiskey when you're done with your thing, and you know, all this stuff, and so it's like this very kind of male space, and that's where I was going for a while, but my office isn't near there anymore, so I don't go there anymore. But,
yeah, I actually think the evolution of shaving is important. I've had this blog on my mind for a couple of months. I should probably write it after this, but like the kind of shaving that I become into over the past 9 months is it like, you could say it's better, but you're still like, it is better. Like it's better for your health. It's more interesting. You're buying artisan products from like independent people as opposed to, you know, giving money to Gillette or whatever. But at the same time, like, you're still shaving alone. And I think the fact that we lost the barbershop, we lost a safe space for white men.
Yeah.
You know, that idea that you go someplace, you might even go there every day, and, you know, there are people you can talk to. It's an all-male environment, you know, obviously self-selective. You don't need to exclude anyone. It's just, but it's an all-male environment. It's intergenerational. You can learn from people. I think actually this shaving alone like might be more of a significant cultural phenomenon than we imagine.
That's how they started along the process of white alienation. Like, oh, look, get this nice straight razor there. Go, you don't have to go to the barbershop anymore.
Yeah,
that play scissors and scotch. Yeah. That play scissors and scotch that I go to, they make it a point and make it apparent that they only accept male customers. Even though everyone who's working there is female.
Yeah, you can't really make... See, this is the thing. Like,
that's a $250,000 fine in New York City.
In a way,
now.
Like, laws like this didn't... Like, you didn't... This is all a product of the civil rights movement. Like, you didn't have to used to say, like, this is a man's barbershop, right? Like, you never had to discriminate. You know what I mean? Like, sort of like, okay, this is a man's barbershop, and no one gives a shit. You know, because that's where men go.
Self-selected, nobody wanted to, people who didn't want to be there. I mean,
and this is one of the things that both feminism and civil rights shitted up for all of society, is that, like, different people in society get different spaces for different things that they do. One thing is, okay, we're going to a barbershop to get a haircut and a shave and shoot the shit. And that's it, right? And who cares? Why do women need to be involved? Like, they don't want to be involved. They shouldn't want to be involved. It doesn't matter. Whatever, that's just how it is. But now it's like, you can't do that. Now it's, you know, you can't do that anymore. You can't. I mean, like, this place in New York, I mean, of course they can't, you know, why would you even have a policy? Like, having a policy defeats the purpose. They've managed to carve out a little space where, because of how they present, it's obvious this is a man's barbershop. You go here to get a man's haircut, and that's it. That's that. Whatever, it's done. Mm-hmm. Nobody bitches, but they of course they can say to comply with all laws, like, oh, we don't discriminate against anybody, you know. But of course, it's all white dudes in there because that's the only kind of haircuts that they do. Like, I'm sure if a black guy came in, they'd try to do something for him to comply with the law
and throw him out. Yeah, I
mean, they'd probably just take the clippers to his head, which is the only haircut they get anyway. So
and they're not going to come in. They're going to go to their barbershop. I mean,
yeah, they're going to go to their own place. Yeah,
right. They still have this subculture. Exactly. Like, they get to have it, you know? They have the little black barbershops, and they all hang
out. They get to have places that are exclusively for blacks that are not necessarily have a policy of being exclusively for blacks, but are tacitly so, and nobody cares to intrude on those spaces.
Shaving, like, football jerseys into the back of each other's heads and shit, but at least they have their own little barbershop culture. They get to go and do that.
Right. Yeah, and that's important to them. We don't really have that. I mean, it's like when you think of, like, the civic society that we have and what church, that's really kind of a female dominated domain. I mean, despite the fact that most of the priests and preachers are male, that's not really ours.
I guess you haven't been to the Episcopal Church in a while. Well, I guess they're either women or they're gay men. So
right.
Which means just basically just the same as liberalism. Like, it just but that's the Episcopal Church.
It's like an art history department. But it's not I mean, it's not ours. Like, we don't really, I guess you could say the sports bar is like the last bastion of that. Because, but even that is kind of, you know,
so women want in there too, though. You know, women, they think they know sports and shit, and they get.
Every time I've been to a sports bar, there's been a ton of women there that were more interested in sports than I was. And the bars are so generic, and they have the sports ball. You know, they've got Negroes chasing after a ball.
Yeah, exactly. You're just watching this total nonsense on the television. Yeah, it's like where's something that where you can actually talk to someone? That's the other thing. Whenever you go into those places, you can't even talk to anyone.
No, it's really loud.
Like there's like music and television going on. Like you can't think.
Television inspires screaming and cheering.
I mean,
that's the other thing.
We've done this before in the city where we have tried to find. Thankfully, we found. What, there is a place, I won't mention it. There's a place that we know of that we can go.
That was fun, yeah.
There was that place. There was that one. Okay, we're talking about different places. There was a place where they actually literally shush you. That's maybe giving away too much. But that was the one place. But there's a place we didn't go that night, but we've gone other times, and we've had large groups there. And the management seems cool with it, and it's fine, and they don't blast music, and they let us alone, and they let us do our thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm not going to mention the place, but it's very rare in New York particularly. We've had this dilemma. We've got a bunch of people. We all want to go and hang out. Any bar we go into is blasting music,
yeah,
and it's impossible to talk. And it's like we don't want to just stand here, you know, fanning ourselves, staring at each other. Like, I don't even get how people enjoy that, but I guess they
just drink and scream at each other. That's what it looked like. The place we stopped in that night first.
The place we stopped into before we were like, no. Yeah,
it was like so drunk, fucking loud. It was like, oh my God, you're watching sports ball.
Yeah.
Great. It's like, oh, yeah. So fun. But we should go to
group of girls who like stand in a circle and are talking to each other, even though they dress up, they like spend hours like putting on makeup and dressing up as if they want to attract men, but then they're just like sitting in a circle talking to each other like,
you have to have the right approach and the right line.
You're not reading enough
game blogs to know what to do in that situation, you know.
I had game before all these autists were on blogs. I had game before there was such a thing as a blog.
I think I did too. We're the same age, so yeah, I did too.
So while we're gaming before
blogs existed, it's true.
While we're talking about New York City and mentioning male spaces and civil rights, I saw the headline on Breitbart, and I thought it was really clickbaity. I thought it was one of these things where they're going overboard, where they're trying to get you to go see. But it actually was not an exaggeration. The New York City Commission on Human Rights has now come up with new regulations that will fine business owners between $125,000 and $250,000 for crimes such as not calling a tranny by their preferred
gender.
Oh my yes, God. Misgender. Here's a good one.
In like the fine print, basically, it says that the gendering goes beyond the spectrum of he and she. Like, you have to call it a dragon if it wants to be a dragon, basically. And it does clarify that it's only if you misgender with malicious intent. Of course, you can always you can always investigate that with accuracy. So
yes,
and I'm sure anybody that would report you would have no malicious intent whatsoever.
No, not at all. This could never be abused. You could never get you could never just get revenge on somebody who whatever reason dissatisfied you with their existence so that you could just go back.
If he's a white male, you know, a property owner, I mean, if he's a landlord, I mean, like, obviously everyone's going to take his side, so.
Yeah, right. Well, everybody takes his side. Everybody loves the boss, right? Sorry, Mike.
The funny sort of little twist here is that in New York City, there's actually a lot of business owners that aren't white. Almost any shopkeeper that you're going to see at street level is not going to. Well, there's kebabs, there's Latinos, there's Armenians. You know, there's everything under the sun. You know, and they all have their. There's Chinese. You know, there's everything. Every different ethnic group has shops and stuff. And of course, white people aren't actually street level shopkeepers anymore. It's all people but whites and blacks because they don't do anything generally. But but I'm serious, and so it's sort of like I kind of want, and so you know that what this regulation is. This regulation is not necessarily because you know non-whites aren't like if you go into a Hispanic-owned bodega, okay? I guarantee you the guys hang out in the Hispanic-owned bodega, the owners and the people that hang out there, and I've lived in neighborhoods, you know, gone in these places.
Right,
these guys are not open-minded about transgenderism. Okay, and you know, like, a tranny walks into their store, you know what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be, they're going to laugh, they're going to make fun, something might happen, you know, the transgender person is going to be triggered, whatever, you know, or they're just not going to go in, or whatever. So that's, they're not going to use this against the non-white people that own, like, all the shops. They're going to use this against the big corporate office employers. And that's who's got the cash. That's who they're going to sue. This is all rent seeking.
Right.
And it's also a symptom of the fact that liberals literally have fucking nothing left to fight for. Like, they have nothing left to fight for, so they do this
if you really think about it for a second, that we basically, that it's a good, you'll get fined for, like, not addressing someone as, like, fucking Dragonkin or whatever the fuck they want.
Well, Zier. 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 I can't even pronounce these fucking words.
Excuse me.
Sir, excuse me. I'm...
Sir?
Sir.
Excuse me,
sir. You'll get fined if you have a problem with allowing a man in a dress to use the ladies' room in your office.
Like, I would just leave. If I was a landlord, I would just leave because I would feel so embarrassed. I wouldn't be able to write a letter and be like, you know, addressing Z Zazer. I would just like, okay, I'm leaving. This is
corrupt. So landlords have to write letters to their tenants as Z and Zier and all that bullshit?
I would assume so.
Well, of course, you can't misgender them at all, or you will get those fines.
Well, let's hope that this gets used against some of the Orthodox Jewish landlords for laws.
I think that would be great.
For this would be great, because, like, seriously, because the thing is, so much economic activity in New York and so many businesses and properties are owned by non-white people that it's just hilarious. I mean, but the, most of this
bigger,
is...
And then the bigger firms are you know who and people who are cool with this stuff anyway,
they
right?
Both so, big and small firms, but yeah, I know what you mean. But then there's also the, like, big corporations that just have offices, and that's where all the white people are, right? All the white people are working these office level jobs at these corporations, and
but those corporations are on board. They're completely on board, but
they're also the juiciest targets for the rent seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the easiest one to get some cash out of, so that they avoid a legal hassle, right? It's like, oh, you misgendered me. Oh, okay, right. Here's $15,000. Let's just drop it. Okay, we'll drop it. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't do that with, like, some bodega, some Hispanic bodega. Right? And
get a free pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Let's forget about it.
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy.
Here, I misgendered.
What am I talking about? A fucking whole pack. Shit. No, yeah, who buys a whole pack of cigarettes anymore? Just white people.
Oh, no, but you can't afford
it. Well, they buy vape. They go vape anyway. So.
Which is good, because they should all stop smoking nicotine cigarettes. Everyone should stop smoking cancer sticks, and if you need to vape, even though it looks stupid, do it. To help you stop.
Vaping is, like, gayer than any standard fuck party you could ever
imagine.
It's
gay as fuck.
I agree.
I have a couple of things. When I was actually in New York City, just right before the conference, when I was actually staying at a place in St. Mark's, near St. Mark's Square, but it's amazing. Like, every other store was vaping. Like, that thing has become, that's like exploded in the past year. It's like exploded as this, like, hipster prol, like, sub, in a way, like, sub prol, like people who have, like, zero money at all.
I don't think it's hipster. I actually think it's kind of white trash, actually. Like white trash slash like wigger.
And that stuff gets pricey too. You can get fancy robot dicks to suck on.
People get like all kinds of kits and stuff.
The kind of people that are vaping are the kind of people that like wear their hats incorrectly, if you get what I mean. If you go to a place where hipsters, where they smoke, it's either hookah bars or it's like pipe tobacco, where they go and get something that looks like what their like grandpa had in like the 1800s or great grandpa had.
Yeah,
you know, they smoke like that.
Yeah,
I think that's actually right. Yeah, that was my impression. It was just exploded. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like the left has nothing to fight for. I agree. I mean, I think the left is the establishment. I mean, but at the same time, like they actually have a ton to fight for. You know, like the irony is that it's these massive corporations that are like totally behind, third gender employees and, you know, major corporations were recognizing gay marriage long before the government was, or even before it was really like a, you know, celebrated cause.
Not just recognizing it, but firing employees who have a problem with it or express a problem with it.
So it's just like we've seen in a way we've seen on one level like the triumph of the left where, you know, the left is the establishment, they're running the show and so on and so forth. But we've also seen just like in a way the total collapse of the left. Like they're not willing to even engage in the places where they should be engaging. You know, like anti-war causes, anti-corporate or, you know, income inequality causes. I mean, you still see it out there, but in a way, they've just kind of, they've become pathetic. They're all like working as human resource managers at these corporations or at an NGO or 501c3, and they're not actually like risking anything.
All of those causes, like, I see leftists complain about income inequality a lot, right? And of course, that's a good opening to start talking about immigration.
Yeah.
And talking about, so I've used that before, and you find that it immediately shuts down. So, I mean, we were talking to this guy, Alex McNabb, and I were talking to this guy a couple of weeks ago, and he was bitching about income inequality and outsourcing of jobs. And I was like, okay, so you must also oppose immigration. And he's like, no, immigration is fine. Immigration has no impact on economic inequality. And I was like, well, no, that's not true. I mean, most economic inequality in the U.S. that's risen in recent years is totally a product of immigration, but that's a difficult case to make. So I was just like, well, why are you against giving foreigners jobs in other countries, but you're okay with foreigners coming into the country and taking jobs? Like, why is one okay and not the other? And he just said, like, you're stupid. Immigration isn't the same as outsource. And I'm like, well, no, it's not exactly the same, but we're talking about similar effects. So they don't even really get this. So in my view, this guy was just dumb, right? He's just dumb. But generally speaking, everything takes a back seat to kind of multiculturalism, anti-white, you know, making white people the minority. Everything takes a back seat.
Well, I totally agree, but I guess what I was just kind of pointing out is that there's been this way where the left has been, the corporate America has been able to kind of absorb the left and in a way neutralize it and make sure that's not a threat as well. And I think that's very interesting and kind of strategic on their part.
Do you mean, mean absorb and become it?
Absorb it and kind of give them enough goodies so that they don't complain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, because the left, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, like, the right, the effectively, at least in the United States, and this definitely has parallels, you know, in Western Europe and Eastern Europe, for that matter. But in the United States, like, the right is basically like, go get married, start a small business, go make money. That's, like, effectively been our message. The left has been the message of, like, drop out, tune out, tune in, take the streets. And, like, so the left has been more of a danger than the right. I mean, unquestionably. Or at least over the past decades. And they've, in a way, like corporate America and the government and the NGO sector and you know, charitable sector, they've like absorbed that threat and just totally neutralized it and employed them, basically.
I don't know what you mean by neutralize. I think neutralization, because now
the left can attack. Like, the left can create like actual social chaos and stuff like that. And, you know, it's better to kind of, like, absorb them and make them human resource managers than it is to, like, have to call the police to stop them from, you know, blowing up the Goldman Sachs headquarters or whatever.
I think that on some level, though, it's not so much that they absorbed it as it is that, like, people with those opinions just ascended in the ranks.
Yeah.
So, like, at the top corporations, like, the
kind
people
of the
on the
thing.
Board, yeah, it's sort of the same thing. Yeah, I guess it's sort of, but it's not, it's sort of like, I think you're making it a little bit more Machiavellian than I think it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it just happened to be that all of these radical leftists, also who came from wealthy families, then just kind of, and of course the institutions that create the people are the next business leaders and the wealthy. Like, they actually share these views, right? And that's kind of, like, the big secret that, like, the kid who's, like, in college and he's reading Noam Chomsky and he's reading all this anarchist literature and he's, like, all hating capitalism and America and corporations and all stuff that he doesn't even get, that, like, all the people in power agree with. You know what I mean? Right. Whether it's in corporate power or whether it's in, like, because, like, the, I know this is an anecdote, and anecdotes aren't representative, but the boss of the company that I work for is a total SJW.
Yeah, right.
Total SJW. You know, he believes in all this shit. He comes to our office and gives speeches about diversity and inclusion and all of that stuff and how that's one of the main missions of our firm and all of that shit. And it's total bullshit. It's complete fucking bullshit. But, like, I'm sure he totally believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for me, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what my point is.
Well, that's kind of like the power of
it. It seems like an obvious threat, though, still. Because you still have, you know, now that they've absorbed it, as you would put it, it's now you have Google and Amazon and all these different places that are basically filtering out rightism from from people's lives. So
if you consider it this way, communism originally is what it's collective ownership of the means of production, which evolved, that changed into ownership of production by the state. Correct? That's what happened in practice. Or what they, so now, and that failed, and that state that was in charge of all that failed. And now they've kind of tapped out of the economic theories of communism. Yes. And they've kind of just gone with cultural Marxism, which has now created, you know, the 1% that they cry about. The 1% owns all the capital, owns the means of production, they own all these corporations, and they're totally on board with the program. So essentially, the means of production are owned by this de facto state, the corporate, whatever. I mean, that sounds gay as fuck to say, like, the corporate state, man.
Yeah, no, I know. It sounds, yeah.
It's accurate.
It really is like they push the program, they fire you if you go out of line. You know, this is why we don't need, as we've said numerous times, we don't need hate speech laws, because you can't engage in hate speech without
laws.
It doesn't matter who you are, like that, you know, CEO of Firefox, like, you know, a long time ago, he donated to something that was, I guess, traditionalist. So he, it was all over for him later.
Yeah, that's it. Four years
doesn't
later.
Matter how, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because it's weird in a way, because you're like, okay, you'll have people on the right who are willing to sort of mount a principled defense of business and the rights of business owners. And people that are actually owning business are like shitting all over these same people. It's like, in order to appease people that hate them or use rhetoric that's anti-capitalist rhetoric, but it's all rent-seeking. I mean, we know that this is all rent-seeking. These people are looking for some sort of handout, whether a sinecure in the government or at a university, or
the rent seek is the new. That's the wealth redistribution. Right. That's what it's turned into. It's the rent seek on the social justice and the microaggression.
There's probably people involved in business that don't give a shit one way or the other and just do what's safest. I think there's a significant number. There's also, I think, a significant number that are fully on board believers. What there is very few of is people that are believers in any kind of right-wing thing, but specifically white identity politics, which is what we're into. Like, you'll have, like, the Koch brothers and stuff, but everything the Koch brothers does, like, if you go look at the Institute for Humane Studies website.
They're awful. The idea that leftists, like, fear the Koch brothers,
I know, it's
like, WASP conspiracy. I mean, the leftists should be, like, sucking their dicks. I mean, the Koch brothers...
I have tried to talk to my liberal family
ridiculous,
about
it before, stupid faggots I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm like, they complain about it. Like, I have family that repeats the talking points, the Huffington Post and the MSNBC, all the bullshit, right? And it's all Koch brothers this, Koch brothers that, although at least it was before Donald Trump. Donald Trump is now the new boogeyman. But before Trump, it was all the Koch brothers. And I remember I used to be like, I know, coming out of the right and being a former libertarian and being what I am, and I know people that have worked for IHS, that have worked for Koch brothers, so-called charities or ideological projects. Whatever. I was like, it's the biggest pile of SJW shit. Like, go to their website, Institute for Humane Studies. They have something on, like, transgenders and capitalism and shit like that.
That's all just a ruse, though.
They have all this shit. I know, but see... It's like they've completely. It's like it's what the left imagines the Koch brothers as, is these boogeymans that are like. And I'm like, you don't even just look at the website yourself. I'm like, I don't even feel like arguing this because I'm not defending them. I'm just telling you, your position is idiotic.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
That's nice.
I actually have, because I know some people who are employed in the Coctopus, as it's called. And the only thing I will say, and I'm not just saying this as like to be self-aggrandizing or flattering myself or something, all the smart ones are reading alt-right websites and listening to the Daily Showa. Woo-hoo! I'm not just saying that.
Okay. I can confirm.
Yeah, and it's like the smart ones they get it. They might have gone in for some other reason. They now get it. They're on the alt-right. And the other ones are like, in a way, like admirable in the sense that they believe their own bullshit. Like, they're just, you know, they're true libertarians. And so it's just like, yeah, it's transgendered capitalism and, you know, whatever capitalism. I mean, okay. You know, it's just, that's actually the power of capitalism in a way. I mean, I guess as I get older, I like become more and more of a leftist. It's just like that's the kind of power of capitalism that it's not like some WASP conspiracy.
Right.
Of, you know, like bankers in three-piece suits with, you know, looking at their gold watch and, yeah, monocles or whatever.
When I used to defend it, that's what I thought it was too, and that's why I defended it.
Right.
I don't really care, to be honest. Not that I'm like against it. I'm just like, whatever. You got to do business, but we don't have to constantly be sucking business's cock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because capitalism itself is this just. It's this like inchoate, like always changing Promethean force that can take on different guises, and that's in a way what's so powerful about it, and why we'll probably never get rid of it. But also why capitalism, like it will take on the shape of the ideology in society that shapes it, and so we need to shape it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not capitalism per se. Look, it's just people doing business, buying and selling stuff, right? That's always going to happen. It needs to happen. But it's if that's all that it's concerned with, then it will buy and sell what society wants it to. And that's what it's doing now.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you'll find businesses that totally cater to Christian fundamentalist conservatives because they can make money doing it. You'll find businesses that cater to all this SJW horseshit. Businesses that cater to gays, that cater to... You know, whatever the fuck, if you can make a penny, then fine. And I'm not condemning that morally. I'm just saying that's how it is. So, you know, it's pointless as that being our enemy. It's more like we have to change the culture that shapes what capitalism is doing.
Because I agree with the Austrians. Like, I think that in a way, the people get what they want. And like I'm not a leftist that thinks that like capitalism is this almost radically evil force that creates what the people don't want, and it's terrible. Like I think that people get what they want. Like they want more Fast and Furious movies. Like by God, they're gonna get them, you know. And so that's why we need to like shape the culture and shape meta policies. You know, we need to capitalism is like the liquid within the glass, and we need to be the glass. We need to be the thing that informs it.
And some like shit like Fast and the Furious, I don't care. People are always going to want that kind of thing. It's more like people demanding that, like, you know, massive influxes of immigrants and like
right. that's slightly worse than a stupid accident
under the sun.
or letting
capitalism get away. And I don't think capitalism is the only driver of this, of immigration. I think a lot of it, I think people underestimate how much it's driven by ideology.
Leftism sells, and that's why it's predominant in our markets right now. It sells because everyone gets to feel brave and get their dopamine rushes, and the old right doesn't offer anything to people.
Right, because
it doesn't offer anything. Like whereas like the emerging new right provides identity and something to fight for, and it's sexy and it sells.
Yeah, well, because the old right offers you nothing, and you're right. Us, what we offer is an identity and a thing for young white men to get involved in, to feel community, camaraderie, to have something to rally to, all the things that you want, and that's what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the alt-right has to offer you is, well, I'm not racist, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Right. Because, well, I think also, like, leftism, one of the reasons why it's powerful is not because of any kind of, like, scientific economic theory or whatever. It's because it adheres to some kind of moral impulse that's very deep in our society. I mean, I think we've got to dig down, like, really deep and understand the origins of why we think, you know, equality is better, or why we think that, you know, a kind of universalism is inherently better. Why we think, you know, white people wielding power is inherently wicked. You know, I mean, leftism has power because it resonates with this kind of moral impulse, this kind of unspoken, unarticulated, unexamined moral impulse in the hearts of basically everyone out there.
Well, and I don't think everybody, but a lot of people.
It's hard to argue against leftism for most people. Like, to argue against
democracy. Well, it's because they're conditioned to the premises of their philosophies.
Yeah, I think that's
you're just kind of like saying the same. I mean,
if you're arguing against it, you're trying hard. People don't like people who try hard. You know?
Well, leftism
is default. It's the easygoing route. It's like, oh man, you're just way like, wow, like you need to just like relax. You like
but
care
I,
about
I think
shit.
I think Richard is sort of onto something in that you're right that it's difficult to argue against. It's not, I don't find it difficult. But I mean, I get why it's difficult.
Right.
I used to find it difficult. I get why, but I think that I also think Gould has a point that I know you find it unsatisfactory, but I do think that people are, one, they've been raised with these premises, and we don't know what people not raised with these premises would be like, or maybe we have an idea by looking at past things that people have written.
Yeah, well, we can look at the past Western civilization.
And a lot of people are afraid, honestly, because I have felt many times, okay, I want to say something, and I'm just going to shut the fuck up for the sake of my paycheck. Frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we have to understand that both of those things are there too. That's
PC
opinion.
Terra is real, I agree. But I also wouldn't discount just the moral aspect of equality, democracy, universalism, a certain kind of egalitarianism.
Oh, I don't discount that at all. But
really,
I just don't think that it applies to everybody.
Yeah.
I think that
then you discount that's kind of by definition discounting it. So
someone say discounts?
Not really.
what kind of discounts, Goy?
Did somebody say
15% off? 30% off egalitarianism, Goy. You can buy.
Well,
we're all
price
equal.
Equal.
We're all equal at that price.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, because I just think that it resonates for the people that believe in it. And look, I've got people that I know, family members, for whom this moral imperative resonates to the depths of their souls. It's super, super important. But it doesn't for me. And as soon as somebody pointed out, like, oh, well, who cares? You know, I was like, yeah, you know, who gives a shit? And I think that there's a lot of people out there that I think that's, like, again, people are different, and I think perhaps this is a kind of a difference between different, maybe two kind of groups of people, or I don't want to go so far. I mean, I used to be into this LARPy neo-reactionary stuff, like Democrats and Republicans are like two different ethnic groups. I think that's bullshit now. But like, you know, there's certain kinds of people, and I find a lot of times they're women, and they have this kind of authoritarian, you know, egalitarian impulse, and it is like something that they truly believe. And I think part of it might come from a mothering instinct, like all the kids, you know, all the kids are equal when they're young, you know, like you're looking after like the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old and they're equal. You have to give them the same amounts of attention and food, or, you know what I mean? So I think that could be a, I mean, this is all totally me just making shit up off
my head, in group evolution, we might have had this dialectic, this kind of right-left dialectic where there were some people who cared about the community. Everyone's going to get their share. Everyone's going to have their voice, so on. And then there is this other group that was, you could say, more dynamic, more interested in conquering, more interested in risk-taking, so
straight.
On. And that, well, no, I wouldn't say straight. I mean, Well, it's kind of like, I agree. I think it's more like the motherly aspect and then the warrior ethic. And, yeah. And that we kind of like needed both of these to balance each other out. Like we don't right. want a Spartan society. We don't want a like a conquistador society of like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people like us, you know, traveling to foreign lands and conquering them and then, you know, basically losing our identity by
and bringing them back home.
Yeah, like exactly the conquistador, like the swinging dicks of the world, who would like, you know, travel these places, you know, brutally murder hundreds of thousands, and but then ultimately the joke's on them because they lost their identity. They you know were basically interbred into these, you know, populations that they conquered. So I mean you kind of need both. And you know, I think there was this like natural left right, you could say, or motherly warriorly dialectic within our people, within group evolution. And I think now it's just basically totally screwed up.
Yeah.
Now it's dysfunctional. Whereas like previously it was like a healthy dialectic and a healthy tension. Now it's like horrible and dysfunctional.
Well, it basically chopped our balls off.
Yeah.
I mean, socially, you know, women in power and with voice, and with this over-motherly, sort of authoritarian, motherly, communitarian instinct of, and they make it their mission to do so.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, this whole, like, oh, white men are the problem. You know, it's sort of like this sort of like overbearing, strict authoritarian mothering thing that all these, and you know, SJWism is totally female, right? It's completely yeah. feminine. So it's really pathetic whenever you see a dude that's into it. You're like, dude, really? Come on, bro.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that just they're raised to believe, you know, certain moral premises and philosophies, and being woman, being highly emotional, and giving power, of course, they're going to use it to
yeah.
achieve their, you know, emotional satisfactory.
Yeah. But women always have some amount of power. But, I mean, they always have power right. over children.
Yeah,
but I guess unless I'm misunderstanding what's being communicated, I don't really think that cultural leftism, egalitarian universalism, I don't think that stems from motherhood at all. I think it's a retarded stretch to make.
Okay.
It's more like motherly is more like caretaking, making sure things are safe.
Well, we're saying
loving your children. I think that the motherly instincts can cross over into these stupid premises, but they are not one and the same.
Well, yeah,
I would agree.
I think we were saying it's a perverted. I mean, both.
And it's hard to argue against the left. I would say that only if you accept their premises, and that's why Donald Trump is winning, because it's incredibly easy to not accept their premises.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well, he's winning with a subset of the population.
Yeah, but he's in, as far as GOP goes, I'm saying he's far ahead.
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah, he is. No, and there's no question. And I agree with you that we need permission to reject their premises without like drastic personal and financial consequences. Which I think right. for all the people out there that would like to reject their premises, they take a step back because they haven't been, they don't have the permission, and they're afraid of personal and potentially financial consequences. And Donald Trump is doing us a service by giving people permission.
A great service, yes.
A public yeah. service. Speaking of public services, do you want to do Dear Rabbi? Meraki, you sent me Dear Rabbi.
Oh, yeah, Dear Rabbi? Okay.
Yeah, he cranked one out for us while we were doing the show. So let's take a second here.
Is your life or the life of a loved one completely fucked? Then you need the advice of one of God's chosen people. As evangelical preachers will tell you, Jews have been blessed by Jehovah with an uncanny ability to make good decisions. Rabbi Herschel Lieberman-Bergblatstein is kind enough to share this gift from God with you Goyim for free. All he asks is that you buy some Star Wars action figures of the black character to counteract the white privilege of the other characters. And now, Dear Rabbi.
Seriously, Finn action figures will probably be worth $6 million in 20 years, just like your Pokemon cards, Goyim.
Dear Rabbi, I am turning 40 and have never been married. Lately on dates, men have started asking me why I've never married. It makes me uncomfortable, and I don't know how to answer them. I have always been attracted to emotionally abusive men and have always been the one to break things off. I was abused as a child and was also a victim of sexual trauma. I'm not sure if this is why abusive men keep showing up in my life. I'd like to meet someone who is kind and stable. Is it too late?
It sounds like you've been following my advice for a while, Shiksa. Let me just assure you that although the one common denominator in your relationships is you, this is not due to you being a fucking dumpster fire. Modern men are just terrible. You've probably been dating abusive white males with tiny penises. I recommend dating black men, as they have huge penises and never abuse their women. I mean, they call their women queens. You wouldn't hit a queen. When have you ever seen a white man call his woman a queen? Never, that's when. White men have no respect for women. I've made efforts to emulate black men in my life. I often call my wife my supreme galactic Jewish empress. I would tell you to try being a lesbian, but I realized that undermines the idea that people are born gay. I hope the homophobes haven't noticed when I've done that in the past. Just find an unemployed black man and be his sugar mama. No one abuses a person who's taking care of them. That's why parents are the ones who spank kids and not the other way around.
Dear Rabbi, I have always struggled with a lack of self-esteem and confidence. I would like to get breast implants. It's not to seek attention or anything. It's merely to feel better about myself.
Whatever you say, Shiksa.
Clothes don't fit me properly, and I am embarrassed. My boyfriend is completely against it. He says he doesn't want to be with a fake person, even though I have tried in vain to tell him I'll be the same person on the inside. This procedure will, in my opinion, help me in many ways, but I don't want to lose my boyfriend. Please help, Rabbi.
First off, Shiksa, I know a plastic surgeon who can help you. It's my cousin Chaim. He's done lots of work for porn stars, so you know he's good. You should definitely disregard your boyfriend's wishes on this. In my experience, men don't really know what they want in a woman. They think they want natural breasts and monogamous relationships and their own biological children, but they really don't. It's not that fulfilling. I know tons of goyim who have told me that adopting an African child to signal their moral superiority was much more fulfilling than raising their own white breasts. When you get the surgery, your breasts are gonna look like Mr. Garrison's from South Park, and he is gonna go wild for that. So don't even worry about losing your boyfriend. If anything, you're going to be such a high-status female in the sexual marketplace that you'll be able to get an even better boyfriend. For the kikestuff.biz, I'm Rabbi Herschel Lieberman-Bergblitzstein, and this has been Dear Rabbi.
Nice. The Rocky Delivers.
Let's talk about this. Can we talk about this? I know it's trivial, but I want to talk about for a second the Finn action figure thing.
Oh yeah, they're not selling.
They're not selling. I remember Paul Kersey mentioned it on our last show, yeah. And then I mentioned that he mentioned it on Facebook, and one of our pal Danny, Crush the Urbanite, was saying like that he's actually bought some of the figures, and he's like he was going to his local Target. Look,
I'm sorry. It's okay.
It's Danny. Whatever. he can do what he wants. And he didn't buy a Finn. He was just saying. He was looking for Stormtrooper. Whatever the fuck. Whatever. Anyway, he's saying he's going to Walmart and Target, and like all the action figures on the shelves were Finn. Because they just weren't selling. And then
Finn and Mace Windu.
Out of curiosity, I looked on Walmart's website, and I looked on Amazon, and the Finn action figure was like cut price. From like MSRP of 1995 down, they're selling for like $13, and all the other figures were overpriced.
Right,
like they were over MSRP because you're now getting them from third party retailers. You weren't getting them direct from like Amazon has to sell. You know, or they can, you know, Amazon can sell for what? Actually, Amazon can sell for whatever,
whatever the hell they want.
But if you go to Toys R Us or whatever the Walmart stores are, you know, like the off the shelf, they have to sell what the manufacturer wants. So, like, now you're getting them from third-party retailers or eBay or whatever it is at, like, higher prices, but all the Finn action figures still in stock, still at $13. And I was, I don't know, I just find that funny. And I kind of could have predicted it because, you know, like, these famous doll studies that they used to do where, like, mm-hmm. even the black kids are, like, they want the white doll. Or they say, if you ask them, like, which one is good and which one is bad, they always say that the black one is bad, etc. So I could have probably predicted, but I never thought of it. And when I thought of it, it was just cracking me up. And I trolled somebody on it for a minute last week, and the guy was like, "Oh, I actually work in a toy store," and he was like a liberal guy, and he was trying to refute it, but he couldn't really. So he's trying to like find alternate. He was trying to find like alternate explanations. And he's like, "Sometimes the companies just make less of other figures."
Oh,
and I'm
yeah,
like, "Yeah,
that's what they do."
I was like, yes, because they know something's really popular and will sell, and so they make less of it. Yeah,
yeah, that's what they want to do. They don't want money. They want the buzz. And
I was like, somehow the capitalists are deliberately glutting the market with the Finn action figure.
Right,
it's not
because the other figures, they made too few because they want to create that secondary market where they don't get any of the profits.
But they don't get any of the profits in some next year. That's like $300 for the figure he bought like 10 years ago.
That's right, how it like, works.
So I just thought it was funny, right? And that, I mean, I think in some level they probably make some figures more scarce
right.
to create well, buzz and stuff like that, but they don't make it like you, from my understanding, and I'm not a collector of any of this stuff by any means, but from my understanding, you can't get a Stormtrooper. Like, you just can't get one. Like, and if they hit the shelves, they'll be gone like that.
Yeah, they'll be gone. Those are the cool ones. Or just think, like, you know, the whole reason that we only printed 150 oven mitts was totally because, you know...
Well, it's because it's always going to work.
has nothing to do with, like, us worrying about, gee, are we going to be able to sell more than 150? No, it's just...
Well, we don't worry we could sell that, and we couldn't afford more. But now I hear that those are gone. Those actually have a secondary market as well.
Oh, do they? So should I go on eBay and check that out?
You can, yes. And someday you will. And it's funny, that's something that people even... said to me, actually, is that these will be worth money someday. And I was like,
someday.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
But definitely, if I would have printed 300 if I thought I could sell 300.
Yeah, we would have printed more if we had the money. And
it wasn't the money. It's like, do I have the confidence that these are going to move at the end of the day?
You
know,
you just move all these units. Yeah. Can we move all these units?
If you can move them all, there's always enough money. If I know I can move 1,000, you pay for 1,000 because they pay for themselves.
Yeah. If we thought we could move 1,000 of them, we would have gotten 1,000. Actually, I don't think we had the capital up front for 1,000, but whatever.
Probably not.
Anyway, we could do a second run, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it can't be the same. No, it'll be gray print instead of silver. I just put Daily Show into eBay. Nothing came up except some Steven Spielberg crap. Oh, well.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Maybe I was just dumping the gun about the people that were...
That would be nice, though. Well, shit. This year keeps getting more and more current as it winds down.
Oh, it's so current right now?
Fucking Lemmy just died. I'm bummed.
Who?
Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead. Come on, you guys.
Oh, okay.
I know you don't care, but I care. That sucks.
Well, I'm sad for you, then.
He was old and crazy, and this is no surprise at all. But still, it finally happened. Fucking guy.
Yeah.
R.I.P. in peace.
Do we want to talk about anything? Oh, I see it now, actually, in my headlines. Yeah.
Yep.
My internet is briefly working again, but
briefly.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to laugh, but I saw news about another one of these shootings, and the guy's name is Quintonio Legrier.
Oh my God.
Actually, I hate to laugh, but one of the funnier things about some of the more recent shootings, what was the guy's name? Like, Laquan was the last guy's name, and now this guy's name is Quintonio.
Quintonio.
When I was in high school, we used to joke that, like, black people had to work, like, a Q-U into any name. One way or another, there had to be a Q-U sound. And then we went through all the black people. We knew when we checked it, and we're like, let me see, there's Fuquan, Chiquan, Quantus, Kwame.
Quantus. Oh, that's the best name. Laquanus, Quanus.
And then
actually, I this is kind of funny. I I talked to this doctor, and who delivered a lot of children, a lot of preemies, and a lot of, you know, normal children as well. But he was saying that a lot of the black women, they would have this baby, they would be like Deshaun, and they'd say D-E high comma S-E-A-N, like
high comma.
They have this
uppercase comma, capital comma.
So it's like Lushan or Latrine, like
Latrine.
D-E Dowdy Thang.
I saw Latrine. You can probably get one to name their kid Latrine. I swear.
The best name is Famali.
Oh, I met a Latrine. Yeah,
Famali Jones.
Mess with a name Latrine.
I met a Latrine at like some store. Yeah.
Oh man.
Latrine.
Latrine.
So we shouldn't make fun of it though.
Because, so if you're dating her, you're digging Latrine. Who be digging out Latrine? Yo, everybody.
Everyone's digging her out regardless.
Motherfucker. So
the whole neighborhood's digging out Latrine. It's a community resource. Enough.
All right, enough. Stop it. I can't even find it.
We haven't even done drops this episode.
Oh, you know what? I have a new drop that's for when you get out of hand, Mike.
Okay.
It's good. So get out of hand for a second so I can use it.
Well, about what? I'm in a really calm mood now. We just went through the whole... You mean when I'm triggered or when I won't shut the fuck up?
I mean, I don't know. Shut it down, Mike! I'll just play it. Shut it down, Mike!
Shut it down, Mike! Bring it back! Watch his fucking legs!
Yeah, I remember that. Honestly, the Jerky Boys are, like, basically burned. If there's ever a way that, like, scientists will be able to take your brain and see the things you ever thought about most, or the thing, the Jerky Boys will be there. Like, every single one is burned into my memory. Like, if I'm in a car accident and I lose, like, my personality, puppet body will probably just do Jerky Boys calls, like, in, like, the mental war constantly.
Nice.
Like, maybe it's, like, the basal part of my spinal column. It's, like, in my spinal column. It's not even in my brain anymore. Anyway.
That's some, like, biology, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yo, so, Tamir Rice. No indictment in the officers who shot the feral dindu with the toy.
Very good. Very happy about
that. From what I'm seeing, the Twitter hashtag on Tamir Rice is basically
kill Whitey.
Not kill Whitey so much as it is a massive exercise in contact denial.
Well, of course.
In other words, they're showing white people with, like, legally owned purchased and licensed firearms that look scary because long black rifles.
But they're not.
And then they're showing
anyone.
Like Tamir Rice's school picture next to it.
Yeah.
total context denial, yeah. Right? So they're showing like geared up to go shooting, go hunting, go target shooting, whatever he's doing. I'm sure his firearm is totally legal, licensed, above board. He's never shot anybody, probably never committed a crime in his life.
He's not pointing at anyone.
He's not pointing at anyone, right?
Like Tamir Rice was pointing at people and fucking around. And, you know, I bet if the white guy carrying the AR with the scary flip-up shoulder thingy, you know, I bet if a cop came by and said, hey, put that down, he would probably put it down and not get killed.
Well, the funny thing is the white guy who's got a harness for his AR, the harness is configured so that when you're walking around, it's not pointing at anybody.
Right.
Right. Like, but
saying if a cop came along and was like, hey, take that off and put it on the ground. He probably would be like, no, motherfucker, it's my right. He would be like, oh, okay, I'm going to put this down and not get
Like, let's say... If you think for a second that a white guy with an AR walking around waving it in the streets and refusing to put it down when they're fucking shot, like, are you kidding me?
Right, well, more than just that, pointing it at people and pointing it at police.
You're going to get shot. You point that at the police, they're going to shoot you because they think you're going to shoot.
You're going to get shot. And I remember, like, actually, all these... One thing about all these shootings, or not all these... See, here's the thing. These kind of things have been happening. It's just that now because of social media, everyone's hearing about it. This is one of the things they say, but it's true, which is that I'm sure that like roughly 300 to 400 black men a year, which if you think about it in a country this size, it's not that much.
Not at all.
Given the amount of crime and shootings that go on, 300 to 400 black men shot by cops every year, right? It's really actually, they talk about this like it's an epidemic. Remember when we did that show a long time ago where I went through that database that Malcolm X group had compiled?
Yep. The vigilante actions and like, all that 99% shit.
99% of them were like, black guy steals car, like, yeah. High speed chase, points gun at cops and gets shot. You know what I mean? Like, they're all like this. So like, but now that these things are public and it's become a thing, it's like, we've all learned, I think, police protocol. You know, because of learning about like the Mike Brown thing and you learn like, okay, if the guy is within 20 feet, he can close on the officer. Even with a knife, the officer is justified in shooting him, etc. You know, so we all kind of learned these things from these cases. And now it's sort of laughable where I'm like, yes, obviously it's police protocol that if you pull a weapon on them within 20 feet, you get shot. And they don't have time to discern that this is a toy gun. It looks like a gun. It's black. It's in his hand. You know, toy guns are required by law to have the orange tip. Kids mm-hmm. take the orange off to be cool. Well, this is what happens.
And
you know,
another thing they miss is it's you can finish. I'll add this in after.
I'm done. I was done.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that it's not, this wasn't just a toy gun. It was an airsoft. I mean, it shoots a pellet. It can actually
hurt you. Yeah.
It can harm you if you get hit with it.
You're not under any obligation to allow yourself to be shot with an airsoft pellet.
No,
gun.
I mean, it's not. They're acting like he just had like a pop gun or a squirt gun.
If I was shooting an airsoft pellet gun at a police officer, I'm sure he would kill me. And I'm not joking. Like, I'm quite
Absolutely.
Sure I would be killed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything threatening. I mean, how else can they? I mean, otherwise they're just sitting ducks.
That's protocol. I mean,
there was a great quote in the report on this on Reuters. Fuck, I should have actually found it before I started talking about it, right? Oh, here it is. So the first story I saw about this today was a Reuters story about the grand jury voting not to indict the officer. This paragraph is really great. This is just a really great piece of reporting right here. It's very impartial and unbiased. Rice was playing with a replica handgun outside a recreation center when Officer Timothy Lohman shot him twice within seconds of reaching the park in a squad car driven by his partner. That's just really good. That's just solid reporting right there, right?
Yeah,
he was innocently playing with a toy gun, and he just shot him twice within seconds of reaching the park. You know,
well,
just,
the interesting thing is,
hey, nigger.
Yeah. Hey.
Have you ever seen the extended video footage of that? I've seen, because usually when they show you the video footage, they just show the police car pulling up and the two cops getting out and shooting him. But there exists.
I try not to watch too many videos of just people dying.
But
it's terrible.
Interesting. I just wanted the interesting app about the extended footage is that you see him there playing with the gun or the toy gun for a couple of minutes on the street, and you see him waving it around and pointing it at people and people running away.
Right.
So you see people like thinking
they're just playing along with him. They're just playing
with him. Has a gun and I've mentioned this too, and I posted it, and I've seen how leftists react, and they say like, oh, he's just being a kid. He's just being playful. And those people aren't running away. And of course, the people's images are blurred out, right?
Right.
So you can't really, because
you can't see
really
their facial.
But you can tell that they're like running away, right?
Right.
And they're like, they're not running away. And I'm like, well, no, they are. And then, you know, you listen to the 911 call. The guy that calls 911 is like, yeah, there's a kid here waving a gun at people and they're running away. And so it's like, I don't know, like what do these people want? You know, I mean, we know what they want, but it's also like, it's absurd how silly their view is, right? And again, it's one of those things like, couldn't the cop have done like a backwards reverse flip ninja
move
to save them? You know, without.
Cop is taking the gun out of his holster, spun it in the air, caught it behind his back, fired underneath between his legs, and took out his kneecap.
It's probably would have still killed a kid that size, but anyway. Whatever.
He didn't do a kung fu chop. Like, he didn't do the Spock thing where it just the kid goes to sleep.
Yeah. He didn't just will him to pass out with his mind powers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at the footage again. They actually have it on the New York Times. Except, oh, they're editing it and they're cutting it.
Of course. Editing
of course.
Are they making the kid look blacker and the officer look whiter? Can they do like some kind of like adjust the brightness and contrast?
Yeah, they're like
working on the curves.
The officer gets out of the car and it's just like this massive lens flare.
Yes.
Because his whiteness just gleams so brightly as he gets up.
It's crazy.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, on some level it's like, you know, you could maybe guess that in a white neighborhood, this wouldn't happen. Like, say there's a kid in a white neighborhood in a park waving a toy gun around, and people call the cops and the cops respond. I can actually buy that he wouldn't get shot, right? But context is a thing. And in a white neighborhood, you don't necessarily assume that a kid that age might have a real gun that he would be willing to shoot people with, but in black neighborhoods, fact is, that's common.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And of course, that's white people's fault.
No, of course.
You know, because somehow white people gave each other those. The good communities are just created by some unseen will and given to white people. You know, just like the good schools.
Yeah. They're made in the. They make schools good, then they distribute them out.
Now I'm seeing this kid's mother. Oh god. Yeah.
So are we having chimp outs? Or I think it's too cold, right? I mean, we're supposed to get.
It is a little cold.
We're supposed to be getting our first winter storm action in New York tonight. So I don't know how it is up there.
But internet kept coming out. It's going to head up to you soon, maybe. Unless I don't know, go somewhere else.
I'd have to walk way over there and turn the patio light on to see if it's snowing or anything.
Yeah, no, we were definitely having it here, so it'll head up your direction, maybe, unless it goes out to sea or something else happens. I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not a meteorologist, but, yeah.
They're always wrong anyway, aren't they?
You can't predict anything.
What do they know?
Or they just talk up the winter storm to get you to watch the news, man. It's all about the ratings.
Yeah, it's all hysteria and hype. They're just on some level that's probably true, but it's another one of those things that like doesn't matter. Also, to some extent, it might even have good results if people, you know, engage in more preparedness before hurricanes because the news has been hyping it for 24 hours.
Are you finally ready? Are you finally ready for more jokes about the only thing that De Blasio efficiently gets rid of is snow because it's white and he hates it. We're going to start that, right?
I would be surprised if he actually efficiently did get rid of snow. No.
Well, that has to be a joke every time, no matter what.
If he actually got hit with a snowstorm, I would be really amazed if he efficiently got rid of it. I can't remember when he fucking became mayor, but we had a couple of winters ago, there was massive snow fucking everywhere, and I don't remember that shit getting rid of efficiently. But, I mean, I guess we could go with those jokes, but I'd be too literal.
Probably could. Well, he was there last year. Because I remember that's what I first heard that joke after some snow last year. Anyway, this is incredibly boring for our non-New York listeners. So
we're just talking about
speaking
of De Blasio, I did want to mention, I'm not going to talk about De Blasio specifically, but it reminded me of political discussion around my family Christmas table and how triggered I was and what the sort of struggles of being a shitlord from an oven middle class family is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's time. In 4 minutes. I guess,
okay.
Richard has to leave us.
Well, I was being polite. I was using the chat.
Okay. No,
Richard has to leave us.
Thanks, Richard. This is
thanks for joining us.
No, it really, it's
goodbye, Richard.
What the fuck was that?
It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
The Jews are coming to get him in 3 minutes.
I hope not. I'd love to do this again. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we should definitely do all these things again. I'll be in touch about that other thing we wanted to do, maybe this weekend or whatever. So.
That other thing. Are you referring to the brutal murder we have planned? Or
yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
I'm referring to those totally legal First Amendment protected things that we were going to do.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys later.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Richard.
Bye.
Yeah.
Richard Spencer, everybody. The NPI. Radix. What else? Plug everything. That's both things, right?
Yeah. Well, he's the guy that coined the term alt-right.
Oh, did he really? That was him?
Because he... Alternative Right, the website, was his thing. And he did that, you know, 6 years ago now.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
How bad is it, if you're like a southern, like, shitlord, and you have to, like, listen to us with our New York accents talk about all this shit?
We need another southern accent if someone wants to step up.
I know. Isn't it terrible, like, you listen to these guys from New York with our Jewy accents tell you what it's like out there?
Oy. But you know what's funny is, I've talked to different people about these things, people with different organizations, and they always say, you know, funny enough, New York is a place we always get a lot of people from, and that makes sense given that it's one of the most populous states and one of the most vibrant. So given that you've got two things, a lot of people and a lot of vibrancy, you're going to get more goys involved from that state. And California is another place that a lot of people come from.
California loves the Shoah.
A lot of people and a lot of vibrancy. So, yeah.
We get the most downloads per state come from California.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big state. And, you know, I've heard people be like, you know, the Pacific Northwest is probably the least fertile grounds for recruiting because they're...
Very white.
They're white and happy up there, you know? So they're not feeling it.
You might even say they're white and gay up there.
They're very gay.
Yeah.
Very gay.
Very gay. I mean, happy.
They're merry and gay all day. With their bike paths and their nutritious non-GMO foods and all that shit. And their microbrews and everything. All that stuff.
I love microbrews.
I like them too. Yeah. I mean, to the extent I like beer, I prefer, you know. I prefer liquor to beer, but, you know, that's not an ideological preference, purely personal.
Beer before liquor, never been sicker, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I used to go to high school parties, too.
When last year?
I learned that in high school.
Yeah, I know, everybody does.
Liquor before beer in the clear.
Yeah, in the clear. Or is it you're a queer? I don't know, one or the other.
Well, either the one, both. If you don't either puke, you're a fucking queer. What? Oh, you're not even drunk.
You're not even drunk, too. Did you puke yet? If you puke, that just means you can drink more.
You puke, you just make a room for more beer.
I have a small little poem I made for New Year's.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's very small, but I hope it's recited by many, and I hope to recite it again next year. Here's the poem. Hey everybody, John Oliver here. Only a few moments left of the current year. The ball is dropping and you can hear the cheer. Midnight, it's the current year. Yeah.
Very
sounds
nice.
Like John Oliver, that was, some kind of retarded great Australian, but it worked.
Crikey, it's the current year. That's fine with me.
It's the current year. You can see the Africa.
I'm incredibly distracted.
Only a few moments left of the current year. Yeah, okay, we just entered the current year.
We can't talk... Can I just say, God, there's so much shit that we can't address just out of fucking decorum. There is so
like
much...
What?
Just drama. There's just garbage going on.
Oh, yeah, let's just ignore that.
No, I just want to say it's so much fucking garbage, but anyway...
you can't just say something like that.
Look, I can say something like that and leave it at that. Everybody knows what I mean.
Than create fucking drama in these circles, it's pointless because who fucking cares? Like, what do you care more about? Like, it's basically you're putting your fucking own ego above what's really important. Like,
I just got to shut down social media for the rest of this fucking. Usually, I go on there to look for the currentest news and what people are talking about.
I don't even want to know.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I guess maybe it doesn't matter.
I don't know what he's talking about either, but I'm assuming it's
some
petty
bullshit. It's just the same old fucking shit.
Yeah. Look, we gotta just ignore
it. We can't leave listeners.
Yeah, that's what I think. Alright, look. I don't give a fuck about
that. Yeah, I know. No, you don't. It's just annoying that it exists. So but anyway,
fuck about
let's
them.
Go
I love
into
them very much.
So we talked about Tamir Rice, and so there haven't been chip outs about that. But we had over the weekend. We had these kind of flash mob, riotish type things going on. We had one in Kentucky and one in New Jersey, and I don't know, Mike. Maybe you should describe that. This Kentucky one kind of. It was suspect because it was going around that there was cat lady liberals and blacks sharing all this stuff about a Kentucky disturbance in a mall. It was supposed to be
right.
a flash
yeah.
mob that went really like got violent and whatever. And apparently they were all claiming that it was like 2,000 people, right? Or something
they're
like
saying
that.
Like 2,000 people yeah. shut down this mall in Kentucky.
And so the story's getting shared by cat ladies and black Twitter. Inferring that this was white people, white folk riot too, yo. But
yeah.
if you looked into the stories, the news stories weren't mentioning race at all, which is a huge
yeah.
red flag.
That's a huge indicator that it's blacks. And on top of that, like, first of all, I for one second I believed it. And they were. And here's the thing: it's not like black Twitter and cat ladies have never jumped the gun before, right?
Right.
They have, because San Bernardino is. Only the latest, probably not even the latest, but a big example that comes to mind of all the fucking Twitter on San Bernardino, like thinking it was white people, celebrating the fact that it was going to be white people. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to be
right.
Love it when you can attack white men again. So then this Kentucky mall thing. Now apparently, I don't know. Like they're saying 1,000 to 2,000 youths stormed
youths.
The mall and like shut it down, and they had
juveniles.
To shut it down. The police had to come in and all this stuff and. I was like, that really doesn't sound like whites. And then there was a news report that somebody shared that was like a fight. And the
right.
two fight, and the fight and all the people surrounding it were white. And it was two white guys fighting. And it looked like, it was like an unruly scene, but it wasn't a riot. It was two guys fighting, maybe two or three other people randomly coming in from the crowd to try to break it up. Unsuccessful in breaking it up, then a police officer getting involved, actually breaking it up and everybody just stopping. And the whole video is like 10, 15 seconds.
Right.
And all the people are not rioting. They're standing around forming kind of a circle as this fight happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. And this was like reported. This is a video that was shown with a report on the Kentucky Mall. And they were saying this also happened at the mall or this happened at the same time. I don't know. But
this wasn't the actual incident. It was just
no. It couldn't have possibly been because of just what I saw in the video. And then I watched like three local news segments from that area on this mall thing. All of them showed footage from the parking lot of like massive crowds of black kids running out of the mall. Like when the cops show up. You know, it's ongoing. I guess it went on long enough that like the news vans showed up and then the police showed up to try to restore order and black kids started running from the cops. But I saw like three different news stories, three different angles of like just crowds of black kids just running. And sure, there was a couple of white faces interspersed, but it
sure.
was like
people like to appropriate black culture.
You know, but it was like overwhelmingly like, you know, 13, 14, 15 year old black kids just hordes of them running out. So I was like, obviously these cat ladies didn't investigate in this one news channel either deliberately or mistakenly tried to imply that this was all white people that were doing this. And this is assuming that this fight even took place at this mall because it was a cell phone video.
Right.
Like we don't even know, right? I mean, who the fuck even knows? I mean, somebody could have done. I mean, I'm not to get conspiratorial. Let's say it did happen at the mall. It doesn't matter,
right?
You know, because this wasn't the whole flash mob thing. And some people on Facebook, some of our friends on Facebook, were like falling for it. They're like, "Oh fuck, this makes white people look bad." And I was like, "Wait, hold on." Like judging by the reading of this media, if I didn't see that one video and I only read the articles on it. I would have guessed it was blacks because everything about it, it was like, it was
right.
a white mall though. That's the thing. It was a white mall in a white suburb. But, they were like, you know, all these like thousands of youths from surrounding towns. That's another key. Mm-hmm. Surrounding
towns.
Surrounding
towns.
They had to
came in from elsewhere.
Them out.
Bussing. White people don't use buses. unless they're in a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, so the town had to basically bus these kids back the fuck out to wherever they live. So yeah, it was totally black kids. I'm sure it was planned. And the police, even the police officer, the police captain from the town was sort of cucking in that he was like, I'm convinced that this was totally a random thing. This just happened accidentally. And I was like, hey, dude.
There's no string of Twitter announcements. You think that there was no,
you don't need to go on Twitter for like 2 minutes and find how this was organized?
Yeah.
You know? So, that was really awesome.
What does Ghoul got? Ghoul, you're unmuted. Tell me funny things.
Well, I'm looking at some of the Tamir, the hashtag Tamir, just tweets going around because they're very, very funny.
God damn it, we moved on from Tamir. I know.
I know. Well, here's a good one. from as someone angry black lady, so you know everything she says is hilarious, actually.
She says it like all sassy and she snaps and says, mm-hmm, at the end of every tweet.
As I grow into a stronger and wiser black woman, and I meant to say more wise, but as I grow into a stronger and wiser black woman in America, it's impossible not to inhabit a constant stage of rage. And then a white guy tweets back, says, it's sickening. As a white man, I am deeply ashamed for my kind. So sorry.
God damn it.
You forgot to put the... Mm-hmm. At the end of her tweet before his reply.
God.
Because, like, first of all, you're black. I would be impressed if you weren't in a constant state of rage.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It's all those hormones!
Right. Like, the melanin molecule must be induced by the
relatively larger amount of testosterone and the, what is it, the monoamine oxidized A gene that you have that white people don't have? That must be what's causing that rage.
we gotta set up for February. We gotta do like the fake Black History Month.
Oh yeah, no, that'll be good.
The Temple of Amun-Ra.
The Kang.
The Temple of
the Kang version. Don't call it Temple of Kang.
Temple of Kangs.
Even the alternative history they propose is in and of itself incoherent. Like,
yeah. Oh well.
It doesn't match up with itself. It's just anything that.
Why don't we just blow my brains out now and save yourself some time?
Sorry, I meant to hit.
Of course.
I was reaching for the "of course" drop. I'm sorry about that.
Very that reaction was anybody reads that Facebook page and react that one.
So Kang's History Month. That's what I'm gonna start. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna start calling Black History Month.
We'll do it for Black History Month. We'll do Kang's this month and Kang's History or something.
Kang's
we'll
History Month. Write a bunch of good.
We can either have somebody do something new, or we can cut together clips of like Nation of Black Israel, or some other Afrocentric historian. Like
we'll have to have authentic black person Meraki on to talk about his experience as a black historian.
We could do like a skit. Like we could have no, that would be bad. That would be stupid. I was thinking I could do like a phony debate with like an Afrocentric historian, but that might be dumb. It might be better just to let him speak for himself. Just let him just throw it out there like, black people invented philosophy in Egypt.
Yeah, we stole it. And I don't know how that's actually possible, but it can be done because we did it.
Yeah, we stole philosophy.
Still thought. You could actually steal thinking.
Yeah,
that
you
That's
forget
really
if somebody takes your idea, you forget the idea.
I got a funny story about
That's why intellectual property is actually real. When someone uses your idea, it's gone forever. You just forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, you literally stole it out of their brains so they couldn't get it back.
They stole civilization from us. Okay, but where did yours go? You stole it.
We took it. But I was actually arguing with him just for shits and giggles. I was arguing with a I'm not even gonna say debating an Afrocentric historian black guy on some Facebook thing, and I was pointing out like, oh, you know, the Egyptians weren't black. Like, I don't think some people think they were white. I don't think that they were white. I think that they were brown.
Yeah,
they might have been Caucasian, but they were brown skinned just because of the climate that they lived in. But you know, and I was like, no, they weren't black, dude, and we know that they weren't, and not only that, but we know that they killed black people. And here, let me show you this famous fresco of King Tut from King Tut's untouched tomb when it was excavated in 1910s. By a British anthropologist.
That's the weak link there. It's like, you know, who was it excavated by? They planted that shit. Yeah. You know?
And also, by the way, if you're just looking for something that's kind of cool, piece of goyish history, read about Howard Carter's life story. He's a fascinating person. What's that?
I said, oh, that's...
Yeah, well, he's one of the people that actually founded modern archaeology. But in any case, so I was like, yeah, you know, they weren't. And so I showed him that famous Tut. Yeah. And there's another one that's on like a... kind of like a box, right? Like it's on the sides of the box showing kind of a similar scene.
Right.
So I showed him these things and, he's like, I was like, look, they're clearly, not only are they black Africans that he's mowing down, they're like stereotypical. They're like black, they've got spears and they've got those Zulu looking shields.
Fat white girls?
No, but I'm like, they look like our stereotypes of like African tribes. Like, that's actually what the stereotypes come from somewhere. And that's what these people on this painting look like. And he was like, how do you know those aren't the Egyptians and the other one's not the enemy? And I was like, oh.
Of course.
Only because the Egyptians...
cooking it down, the skin's nice and crispy.
And I was like, actually, arguing this is pointless. I was like, how do I know? Only because this looks like... how the Egyptians represented themselves in literally millions of other pieces of artwork. That's the pharaoh. Like, we have literally millions of artifacts.
Yeah. Do you ever just go on those Kang pages and just look at some of the posts? Remember one of them I saw was, it just had two pictures next to each other. One was like an African skull and the other one was the continent of Africa. And I guess if you sort of if you sort of look at them in a certain way, they almost kind of look alike, I guess. And it had that and it said something like some caption like they hide in the history from us or like something like that. It was just like, what point could you possibly be trying to make right now? Like what is happening inside your head? I really want to know. Like the same kind of mentality where it's like if you look at these stars, if you connect these dots here, it says Biggie Smalls. Like whatever.
You know. Yeah, I mean, some level, it's fun to make fun of, but it's all, and we can make fun of it for Kang History Month, but it's also sort of pathetic, and it's like,
I think it shines a like bright light on like how infantile the race can be.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, it does, and that it almost makes me a little sad because it's so pathetic and it's so made up.
Yeah, but I mean, like even the caricature of the like idiot hillbilly KKK redneck, even he, this caricature is infinitely less retarded.
Yeah, no, I know. It's so stupid. And of course, it's got its own built-in escape mechanism or from the truth, which is that's just white, you know, which is literally what they say. But it's like, this is why I think, you know, if you're going to look at this stuff, just do it for lulz. Like these people, it's pointless to argue with them. And honestly, they're not the ones that are even really a threat to anything. They're just stupid.
Don't argue with them. Get them to say really funny shit and scream.
Yeah, get them to say fucking ridiculous shit and laugh. That's basically the only interaction that needs to be had with the, Afrocentrics. It's funny.
It's just amazing what some of them do with like a little bit of education, with a little bit of like, you know, some of them like gain enough agency to want to like know things or be more aware of the world around them or be aware of who they are and this is what they fucking come up with. it's such a waste.
They find something that tells them this stuff, like something that somebody made up somewhere. One of the things that's funny is when you see like white liberal academics who, despite being white liberal, are also at least serious about whatever their particular academic field is. There's this guy, I can't remember his name now, but he's a famous lecturer in Egyptology, and he did shows on the History channel and stuff, and mm-hmm. he's done lectures and stuff. I bought a lecture series of his, you know, a whole, like, an in-depth lecture on ancient Egypt, and I listened to them. Because I used to be really into that. I still am into that stuff. I think it's really cool. And, you know, I was listening, and he did one where there was a dynasty that was black. It was the 25th dynasty. There was two Kangs. and they had taken over, you know, Nubians invaded, they took over, and then they were deposed like a generation later. They had two Kangs, whatever. And when he came to that point in the history, he was like, you know, I get a lot of guys in my freshman classes that are like, he didn't say the word Afrocentric, but he said that are under the impression that the Egyptians were black. And he's like, here's the point where we actually get to the real pharaohs that were black. And he's got pictures of them. He's like, here's the slides, like you can see. Looking at their statues, these guys are black, look at the features, except, you know what I mean? So he's doing it in a very academic, systematic way, like analyzing right. history and everything. And he's like, you know, don't listen to all, and I'm sure the guy's a total fucking liberal leftist, right? But it's just interesting. And it was a good lecture series. Of course, everyone that knew about Egypt knew this. And, you know, he's like, I get people coming into my class and they'll try to tell me like Cleopatra was black, and I have to laugh, like, Cleopatra was literally white, like she wasn't right. even, she wasn't even, she was like a Greek, she wasn't even Egyptian, yeah. like she was just white, you know, it's just, like the ancient, yeah.
It's just funny, it's understandable what they're doing, the black, I mean, who wants to...
Oh, it must suck, you know?
Huh? Yeah, what is that? How much would it suck to, like, try to, how can you really have, this is what makes me laugh, is like... pretty much the whole history is a pile of shit.
Yeah.
And when you look at, say, like, Jews, even though their history really isn't a pile of shit, it's sort of framed that way, mm-hmm. and Jews are able to sort of, you know, from that draw this sense of unity, like, we have to stick together. But, like, blacks, they still just rape and fucking kill each other all day. Yeah. So it's like, they have nothing. You don't even have, like, a unity to go to. You have, like, your history is you basically did nothing, and then you kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were made slaves, and then you killed each other.
So you try to create out of whole cloth this historical identity, yeah. which... When you should be concentrating on creating an identity for now and for the future, because you're
right, past, right.
you know. But no,
hey, look, a great civilization once arose on the same continent that we come from.
Yeah,
in a part where we never lived, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, whole continent is ours. They just stole that part. They stole it.
They stole it. Yeah. And then the white man came for all the diamonds and all the other stuff that we had no idea how to go get or any use for.
And it's still there, but for some reason we still styled it. So
styled it. Well, I just like it's just like it's just minerals and shit that an African fucking tribesman has no fucking need,
right?
Or any idea what could be done.
Right.
Well, in a way, I mean,
because they had so much respect for the Earth Mother.
Oh, right.
So just like the engines who used every part of the fucking buffalo, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's always funny, the Swipple projection of Swipple values onto like primitive peoples. That's always a fun thing to witness. Like, but yeah, I mean, in a way, it's sort of like
love nature so much they fucking stick their mouths into cows' asses.
You've seen
those videos, right?
I've seen that video. I don't want to.
This is the first I've heard of this one. Red pill me on sticking your mouth in a cow's ass.
No,
it's for using cow feces to something with it. I don't even know exactly. I don't
for
care.
Sustenance, really know. Apparently.
No, who knows? But they basically they suck the cow's ass until poop comes out. Basically. Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
All right, well, are you guys ready for the Merchant Minute? I think we've got enough.
Yeah, I think that's about... Yeah, I was going to say, let's tap out. Yeah, I don't have any more on this. I had something, but I can't think of it now.
We got enough, I think. We had some starts and stops at the beginning, but I think we got enough material now. And plus, we'll shitpost for a minute after this, because we'll do a couple more announcements and shit. The Merchant Minute.
This is it, Goyim. The next time you hear my voice, it will be the current year. The year in which the Jewish dildos finally do all-out battle with the Goyish fash. This will determine whether the current year is brought to a bloody end, or it lasts forever. May non-volcanic gods help us all. This is the Merchant Minute. From the times of Israel, British Jews lay groundwork for influx of Syrian refugees. British Jews are vowing to not stand idly by as restrictive British asylum policy prevents all but a tiny trickle of today's refugees from legally reaching the shores of the United Kingdom. They're making sure the UK takes at least 200 pies at Ken Boy's birthday party, with no condoms allowed. Earlier this month, during Hanukkah, three of Britain's Jewish religious movements released a video announcing the launch of a campaign to reinstate private sponsorship for refugees, a mechanism that disappeared after World War II. Like the private sponsorship of refugees currently underway by Canadian Jews, the British scheme would involve synagogues, community organizations, and individuals taking responsibility for resettling Syrian families. Let's make a deal, Jews. We'll take as many refugees as you want, but they have to live with you in your houses. What could go wrong? I've heard so much about how the Abrahamic faiths all worship the same God, so you should get along just fine. And it would be so progressive. Don't you want to be as morally superior as those Jeb Bush supporters who adopt little dindus? And from the Jerusalem Post, the Shin Bet, Israel's security agency, is investigating a terrorist organization which seeks to overthrow the state of Israel through violent acts, including murdering innocent Palestinians, igniting a rebellion to institute a king, undermining relations between Israel and other states, as well as expelling non-Jews from the land and harming minorities. Sounds badass. It's like the monarchist LARPing in the alt-right, except it's actually doing something and it's violent.
Lawyers!
Representing the suspects in custody claim that the Shin Bet sexually harassed suspects, struck their genitals, kicked, spat, or electrocuted them, or that one of the suspects attempted suicide. The Shin Bet denies these claims. They said,
Extreme right-wing activists and their lawyers are trying to distract the public and legal attention from severe acts of terrorism committed by the said organization and shift it to the legitimacy of an investigation to uncover their acts.
It sounds like the terrorists are better at playing this Jewish game than the government is. One side is claiming they're being tortured and the other side is calling people right-wing meanies. And when have Jews ever lied about bad things being done to them? We need some police accountability here. Let's get cop block on this shit before they start turning these poor Jewish terrorists into lampshades. And Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders said Sunday he believes he can win over supporters of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump, explaining that Trump has been successful at channeling working class anger. In a pre-taped interview for CBS's Face the Nation, Sanders said many of Trump's supporters are working class people who have legitimate angers and fears because of decreasing wages and the rising cost of college tuition, among other reasons.
What Trump has done with some success is take that anger, take those fears, which are legitimate, and convert them into anger against Mexicans, anger against Muslims, Sanders said.
The Vermont senator said he would instead work to channel that same anger into support for proposals such as raising the minimum wage, as opposed to dividing us up and having us hate Mexicans or Muslims.
We need policies that bring us together, that take on the greed of Wall Street, the greed of corporate America, Sanders said.
So instead of hating Mexicans and Muslims, we should dog whistle against Jewish bankers. I can dig it. Bring back Gas Steagall and break up the banks, if you know what I mean. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Meraki Yu, and this has been The Merchant Minute.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for this year.
Yeah, folks. Yeah, this is the last one of the year. Yeah. I did want to just say about that Bernie Sanders line, like, that's a classic thing that the leftists say, right? I think we've all heard this a million times. Like,
of course.
Oh, fascism is when, like, you know, some demagogue uses a scapegoat to channel the legitimate anger of the workers in, like, a reactionary direction or whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
This is a classic left. Is bullshit, right? Yeah. But it's just it's such bullshit because it's like it doesn't account. It also sees it only in terms of economics, right? It's like the only possible grievance you could have is your paycheck isn't high enough, right? Or you're not getting the gibs that you deserve or whatever, right? It's like the grievance couldn't just be these fucking Mexicans everywhere, right? Yeah. Like it could. Look, I'm sure that there are economic grievances too. I'm not necessarily downplaying that, but what I'm saying is, like, it's not purely an economic grievance. It's also like, we want people want like white communities back.
People don't want.
And they want white communities.
I don't want to drive around and see billboards in Spanish. I want to see billboards in much.
And I don't want them. I just want my wet bags all over the place.
Yeah, it's just unpleasant. It's just gross. It's just
unpleasant. Like they don't keep house. They don't they're ugly to look at. They make a mess. They don't speak our language. It's like, why? It doesn't.
They're just
outsiders. Good.
They're just not us.
They're not us. And what's the point? Why?
I wouldn't want to see a clean, nice, well kept minority group either if they were not us. If they, you know.
If they started to do different things culturally and you know, it's just, it's like, we just, it's like, it's not purely an economic grievance. And Bernie Sanders, of course, wants to make it, and the left generally wants to make it purely economic. Like, oh, look at everything those greedy capitalists are taking from you.
Yeah. Well, they're always you're voting against your own interest. You're
voting against your own interest. You need to vote for us. We'll give you free things like we give to the blacks.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's like, no. Maybe white people, working class white people, aren't so much interested in free stuff.
Right.
Maybe what they want, they do have economic grievances. They want the opportunity to work, you know, and they want to work for their keep, unlike other classes of people.
Yeah.
But they also want their communities. And I think that's what they want. Like, and maybe it's not something that they're consciously aware of, but if you have a bunch of Mexican, and we know, we have research to prove it. If you have a diverse mixed cultural race community, there's no community. It's just people living in the same area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's not purely an economic grievance, and Bernie Sanders is not going to address the other side of that grievance.
No.
That's all.
Yep. And so from there, I wanted to mention, I don't know if he's still doing it, but Millennial Woes did several like live hangouts last week, and a number of us were on a bunch of them. I was on one. I was on the first one, I think. I jumped in towards the end with that Sargon of a Mossad guy.
Scrotum of Mossad.
Yeah, and then there's one, I think it was hangout number 5, had like Henrik from Red Ice and his wife and a couple of the other ladies of the alt-right, which was pretty cool. And then that night, me, Greg Johnson, Marakiu, and Hateful Heretic went on. That was Hangout 5A, the TRS edition. That was pretty cool. He had Jared Taylor on one night.
Oh, wow.
I think one night, Ghoul, you and Greg were on one night also.
Yes.
How did that go? I was listening to some of that for about 45 minutes.
It went fine.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know if he's still doing those, but you should check those out if you get a chance. There was some good shit going on. Especially
I wouldn't be able to do it. If someone like Sargon was on, I would need to make sure it was like him and just a few others. Because if I was in a chat with someone like him and there was a whole bunch of Spurgs trying to throw in their 2 cents, to try and I would pull my own hair out.
Yeah, it was pretty.
No, bizarre. I wouldn't. You would need to be able to go one on one with him and tear his shit down.
Right, exactly.
I felt I got some good to
mute people to be like, okay, you're off. You know what I mean? Not necessarily boot them, but just mute them. Like, if the organizer can do it, shut up.
He also felt he had to stop people from interrupting him because it was 8-on-1 or 9-on-1 or whatever.
Yeah, but then you got way too many fucking people there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I think I got my barbs in, though. I think I did pretty good. It was pretty funny. I thought it was
funny. It's not really productive, though, to do something like that. It's like, if it's going to be a debate, it's got to be him and like one or two other people.
Well, that wasn't planned.
And he's
got
to be able to.
That wasn't planned. He was just doing. He was just doing a hangout with his buddies, and then the Sargon guy was like, "It's like, oh, I'm going to pop in here."
He just popped in.
Yeah, and it turned into a thing. Then later on, I popped in and tried to unfuck the fucking thing. But
I heard that it went poorly. Some guy wrote an article that I think is either up or is going up on our site about it, and saying that nobody was attacking Sargon's.
He would spend 20 seconds setting up a shitty frame, and I'd go, hey, wait a second, don't interrupt, and then he would spend 3 minutes arguing from that shitty premise, the whole thing being irrelevant. You know, right.
He's one of those people who, you made a meme. Well, I mean, you gave me the idea, and I made it the meme. But that one time, Mike, when you gave me that meme idea about, here's a like, here's an art of, you know, here's like some framework I synthesized that you must follow, that, you know, like some rules you must follow to, you know, to create your argument from. Can you do it? Yeah, I didn't think so. I went early.
Yeah, here, follow my frame exactly to make your point. Oh, whoops, it's deliberately constructed so you can't make your point.
Right.
And there we go, I win.
It's funny.
It would be really easy to, and it would be fun, I think, to like talk with someone like him, because he's basically a guy who picks low hanging fruit from, you know, ridiculous like Tumblrisms and stuff and critiques it. And, you know, then he's got a fan base of 16-year-olds and it's like, it would be nice if you could actually get someone, say, like from TRS or whatever, to have a conversation with someone like that. I mean, someone like that, because he's just the next out of 10 billion, you know, YouTubers that do the same shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be him.
Well, he's
someone who does all that crap, you know?
He's a gamer gator goy, and
yeah, it's
so
like,
he's a,
you know,
so he's like a stepping
really
stone.
Really super basic, yeah. Like,
it's a stepping
well,
stone.
Well, from my understanding, he's one of those like really primitive, like, I'm against PC. Like, I'm going to say something about the most absurd aspects of Tumblr feminism, because even though most people already hate those and think being edgy and irreverent for doing it, you know,
you don't get 200,000 subscribers being edgy.
I mean, like,
and risky,
you know, we spent some time talking about the absurdity of transgenders and Dragonkin and all that shit, but like, if that's your whole shtick, you know, or like the whole feminism has double standards for men and women. It's like, yes, that's true, or like, I don't know. I mean, it's something like. It's like he takes like the most ridiculously easy shit. Even basic bitch conservatives and some liberals will go along with this, and it's totally safe. And then he on anything difficult like race, he completely
they're going to call you a Nazi.
He was saying that. Oh, he's a British fag. Isn't he also a quadroon? I heard he's a quadroon.
That's
I heard he's like
heard.
A brag quadroon.
That's
I would probably want to just punch him in the face. But if he were to come on our show. Maybe he listens, maybe not. But if someone wants to troll him, see if you can get him to agree to come on our show, we will agree to have one person debate him one-on-one.
Yeah.
And
I think like anyone
we'll
from the Death Panel would
be... release it on his channel, too.
There would be have to...
You'd have to have some person moderating, but then I think I think that probably anyone from the Death Panel would be up for it, because anyone could do it. It would be funny.
The problem is there would have to be some sort of protocol for stopping him, because he will just talk for 10 minutes, and the first 30 seconds are completely absurd, and he bases the next 9.5 minutes on that 30 seconds.
No, well, he's used to talking by himself, so,
I kept trying to jump in on that 30 seconds, but no, stop, hold on, that's wrong,
What we would do, I mean, assuming we could get him to come on our show. He probably wouldn't, because he wouldn't have the, he would know that it would not be a, it's not that we wouldn't let him speak, because I would be more than happy to let the guy on, let him make his point.
Well, we're not soft targets.
If you keep it to like a couple minutes, and then you would have your couple minutes to tear down his framework, but, you know, the rules wouldn't be you have to work inside of his frame, they would only be you have to let him finish.
Right.
Within a reasonable amount of time.
So it's like, and if he did his whole, you know, if what you're saying is what he does all the time, if he set up his little framework and then he made some 10-minute argument, you could just be like, okay, well, I reject the premise, so that was all just mouth pollution.
Yeah.
Right. So and this guy that wrote the article for TRS was saying, he's like, nobody was, or maybe maybe some people were, but nobody got the chance because of the format. Nobody was just jumping on him for saying, okay, like, I just don't accept your ethical framework.
Right.
Like, I'm just not accepting. It's like, and this is kind of one of the things that people that are less experienced in rhetoric fall into. People that are more experienced in rhetoric will do this. They'll suck you into a frame that traps you so you can't really make your point, or they'll make you work within their frame to argue against them. And if you're not as used to it, you're not as good of a debate. You might know something's wrong, but you're not quite sure, but you're still kind of like trapped working within his frame and like trying to convince him within his frame. And that's not working. You have to tear down the premise and attack it and insert your own. Because like the guy was saying on the TRS piece, he's like, the guy is using some absolute moral ethic that like, from my understanding, it was like race discrimination.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolutely wrong to discriminate on race. And like, none of us think that, right?
No. For some reason, for 2 hours, they chased that around. Like, yeah, like they went along with it for 2 hours. I don't know how that worked out. I don't know how
that happened.
It's like,
see, I don't see why, and this is the point the guy that wrote the article made, like, I don't see why you would even need to have this argument. Be like, okay, that's your opinion. Good. Excellent. You know, like, I don't know. What can we say? Like, you think it's wrong to discriminate based on race. I don't. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Right. There's nowhere else to go.
Convince me. Convince me, and they'll call you a Nazi.
don't you understand if you think like this you aren't part of the moral mainstream. It's kind of it's an uncomfortable place to be in for someone like me. Yes, we understand.
People
we understand you don't like risky thinking. We get it.
No, I'm trying to.
He's actually like a total fag. Who is this?
Somebody was joking that he's a paid. I think it was Greg said he was a paid consultant for the alt right now for TRS because he was giving us advice on what the liberals would call us Nazis if we said this. Like, oh, so now you're.
You know, I didn't know that, Mr. Scrotum of Mossad. I did not know that I would get called a Nazi for having some of the views that I have. I didn't know. I'm totally unaware.
No idea.
Thank you.
What do we do
for telling me that?
That
now I'm just going to stop.
Right. That's the end. This is the last episode of Daily Show, everybody.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't know. They were going to call us Nazis. All right, well, that's it. Done.
So,
I guess done.
That's over. Well, speaking of done.
It would be really funny to get him, if he was up for it, to talk about race with, like, Sean Last or something.
Yes, that would be the ideal debate contestant. Dude, I have tried so many times, and when we did that thing with, oh, man, what was that guy, the Prussian? Remember this a while ago? Sean was doing the articles, but then I printed the Prussian's article in total with no censorship of it. He didn't think I would do it. He thought like his article would be so challenging that I wouldn't post it. I'm like, dude, no, I don't give a fuck. Here, you do it and Sean will just tear it apart again. But I was like, why don't you come on and do an audio debate with us? And I was like, if you don't believe we'll honestly moderate it, you record too, and then you can post it on your end so that if we edit it to make you look bad, then you have that backup, right? And I proposed all this to him, and he was like, no. You're Nazis. I'm not having anything to do with you anymore. All right.
Okay.
All right. You had a chance. I was giving you a forum in which you could tear down this evil racist Sean Last and his views. Of course, he knew that Sean would wipe the floor with them, right? Yeah. I mean, he knew that.
Right.
And I guess there's a whole, like, going into unfriendly territory, but I'm like, look, it's a debate. As far as I'm concerned, it's a debate between you and Sean Last. We're just hosting it. And I'm not going to insert an opinion one way or the other.
I promise I won't play Vivaldi while you're talking.
Right.
But Mike, we got to do one more thing, and then we got to go. Talk about the relaunch.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're not really relaunching as so much. We're launching something new. I have created, and I'm still working on. Although you can go to it, and if you go to it, just you know, you can leave comments if you want, but just don't fuck them up. Radio.therightstuff.biz. So that's going to be our new podcast location. We're hoping for a January 1 or probably not January 1, maybe sometime next week, to launch it. We still need to just archive it. The site is up. It's built. It's running. We've got some episodes on there. We need to put more. And then, you know, I need to change around the homepage of TRS a little bit. And then all podcast content is going to move over to Radio The Right Stuff, and we're going to keep the right stuff.biz for article content. So that's where you can go to read articles, do your discus shit posting, and then we'll have all the podcasts over at Radio The Right Stuff, where it will be much easier to access archives of each show and all of that. And so it's still a work in progress, but it's there. I guess we should put the last couple episodes up there. It's nice. It's a good format. It's a nice design, a design specifically for audio playing. So there's like a nice huge audio player when you go to any page
and
of the podcast.
It's got a download button and a volume control because the one we've been using lately doesn't have either.
Yeah. So it's got all that stuff. And those that are still on SoundCloud that have not been kicked off yet, the SoundCloud embed works. For us, we're just doing MP3, but it's got a really nice interface for the MP3 file with all the controls that you want, so it's cool. Yeah. And Brian's podcast has not been canceled. There was some rumor that, like, I had canceled it for reasons. That's not the case. That's not the case. I didn't cancel Ryan's podcast. He just needs to do another one. As soon as he does it, it'll go up. That person that posted that comment was an impersonator. That's not my Discus account. So for those of you that saw that, that wasn't me. And anybody that does that, if I see it, I have no clue where that Discus comment is, and I'm not diving through millions of comments to find it.
Yeah, right.
But if I find out someone's doing it to me or anyone else, that you have impersonation accounts, you're just getting Instabanned. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can do. Other than that, I can't control it. To the extent phony accounts are brought to my attention, they get banned. And don't try to fucking make a phony account and then report the original person as the phony account.
Oh, Jesus.
Not that fucking stupid. Because that's happening. Okay. I'm not that stupid, all right? I can tell which account was made yesterday and which has been around for a month and has 200 comments. So like...
God.
Yeah, no, don't try to meta-troll me. But, meta-troll. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But that was, somebody tried to do that. I was like, dude, really?
Yeah.
You know, boring fucking yesterday?
Rock.
Anyway.
You want to do a show next week? You want to take the week off? This is like we should have took the week off this week. There's nothing going on.
Yeah. I don't like skipping. I mean, we've done it before, but
We got to really prepare a current year in review for next week or something.
Though. Yeah. The year in review.
The year in review. There just won't be any skits. I won't have a chance to.
I know. But you know, this is a good show even without skits.
It's good.
We'll do skits. There'll always be skits.
Yeah. All right. So everybody have a safe, happy new year. Thanks for joining us all of 2015-88.
Enjoy watching the balls.
The balls drop on your.
Enjoy watching your balls drop right onto your hot pocket on the New Year's. The Arabian goggles, they call that.
Oh, God. I was going to make a joke. I was going to make a joke about brown balls and white face, but I won't.
Yeah, let's just... Arabian goggles is enough already.
That's I'm so triggered right now.
That's a funny one. I'm sorry. That's just an mistake. You remember when everyone used to talk about those things, like those funny sexual moves and they all had funny names?
That was that one was reaching. That one, but it's disgusting, the idea.
But it's so funny, though. I mean, why is it that? Why is that the Arabian goggles? It doesn't matter. It's just funny.
Doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it makes sense, and you don't want to know why it makes sense.
I gotta go.
I really gotta poop. So.
Okay. All right.
Hey, cool.
Okay. All right.
All right, guys. See you next year.
Yes,
I love you. Love you guys.
All right. So.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.
De su voz, adiós, mi general, adiós. Quiero cerrar filas otra vez en este ejército que invicto comandó y que mil glorias a la patria le entregó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Que hoy día se cerró, se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar.
general, adiós. El grito que en Chorrillos se escuchó.
¡Viva Baquedano del Sol!
Y que del pecho del soldado se escapó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Solo soy un ciudadano no más, que deudor de su grandeza y sencillez, hoy vino a despedirlo con Manuel.
Adiós, mi general, adiós,
la página que hoy día se cerró. La historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven.